participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Telling you, you guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line. Take my phone.
You've been arrested for operating motor vehicles while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I was not.
Yeah, oh no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you say this, sir.
Well, fortunately, I will.
I will not say anything until you say this.
Have you introduced the evidence?
I will not say anything until you say this, sir.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drinks.
Okay.
Go to hell, you guys. Take yourselves off.
I act like a gentleman after I
something another house.
Yeah, I'm going to send you all to jail.
I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
Rick Jordan, a happy holiday wish.
You know about the therapist. Well, let me tell you something. He does not make any decisions. I make the decisions, okay?
Then he can produce the show, and you can come to my office, lie on my couch, and cry about your mammy.
Oh, really? Well, he doesn't care about the show.
There you go. Rip Torn. Happy holidays, everybody. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's just been a long time.
I love Rip Torn.
The tape is sitting there every day. We don't play it anymore.
Very nice thought. You know,
thank you, bud. Happy holidays, everybody.
And remember, if you're thinking about that drunk tank that Rip Torn was in, not guilty.
That's right.
That's right.
Not guilty.
That's right.
Rip Torn.
Just a drink and a half.
That's right.
And he was hit by a taxi.
That's right. Exactly. You heard him. He made perfect sense.
Yeah. He did to me.
Hello, everybody.
There he is.
Well, greetings on this fabulous rainy afternoon.
Hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Counters Bank of Beverly Hills and president of the Bank of the Granny.
Oh. Granny. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I love it.
And here are some groaners, holiday groaners for you.
Oh, let's groan away.
Which reindeer has the cleanest bathroom?
Which one?
Comet.
I know already.
Or do you? What movie star only releases films on obsolete formats? Catherine Beta-Jones.
Wow.
What holiday icon should never be trusted with a syringe?
Who?
Santa Claus von Bülow. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I just want to throw this last one in.
All right.
Okay? Because I know you're thinking it's either one guy or all the
guys.
Right.
Right. Now, you're not mixing it up again, are you?
No, it's all or nothing.
It wasn't the other day.
All or nothing.
It was when you cheated the other day. It wasn't the other all the you know all or nothing.
That wasn't cheating. I was just it was the clear and the cream. I was just enhancing the performance.
I understand, Bruce.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon,
and I'm Milburn Drysdale, awaiting eagerly the next groaner.
What do 1970s pop stars put on their Christmas cards?
What?
Christmas seals and crafts.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's give a thought in.
Okay, it's Comet.
Mm-hmm.
As the cleanest bathroom.
Right.
Catherine Beta-Jones.
Everybody.
Santa Claus von Bülow. Christmas seals and crafts. Mike.
Rob. No, not even a doubt.
Buzz.
I'll go with Mike. It's Rob.
Where?
Yeah. See, you work with the guy long enough. He goes to Seals and Crofts a lot. Or you do. I think you do.
I do, but I didn't write those. Rob wrote those.
Yeah, but I mean, that you too, when you have that one brain thing going. There's a lot of Seals and Crofts. That's the giveaway.
That's our trademark.
Okay, well, hello. Hello.
Hello.
All right, hello, everybody.
Hello.
She is, and hi, Julia. Hi there, I have John Kerry.
Yeah. Hi there.
Hi there, Jerry Lewis.
Hello.
Hey, Uncle June.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know control a book.
Hi, Tony.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
I don't.
877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
That's a good authoritative word today.
A true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rain Shower. And all the ships at sea. Nationally ranked rock, paper, scissors champs, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie.
Hello.
Out there, everybody.
Let's get retarded. Don and Mike show a new episode on the Thursday.
Thursday. 1-2-0-9-0-4.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show a new episode on this Thursday, December 9th.
Oh, man, do I love a rainy day in Washington.
2004. Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. In D.C., 202-432-1067. What?
I'm a Washingtonian. I'm driving in the rain. I hit the gas. I hit the brake. I hit the gas. I hit the brake. I hit the gas. I hit the brake.
Uh-huh.
Idiots!
Now, I got the biggest idiot story.
Really?
Today. Yeah. And I had a meeting with Todd. Yeah, let's hear it for Todd Hughes. Listen, I understand what's going on with this guy. He's the de facto general manager here.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, you've given him the name de facto. It could not have gone well.
And the deal with this version of the puppet government is... Uh-huh. He is a control freak.
Well,
you've known this about him, haven't you?
Not as well as you have.
As usual,
I'm not privy to these discussions.
So what he loves doing, I think I've mentioned this before, his big MO, at least with me, is that he'll send me an email. Now, keep in mind, the guy's got every phone number that I'm available at.
Right. Yeah.
And he never picks up the phone to call, but he'll send me an email. He sent it, I think, yesterday that said, have something new to discuss with you briefly. Not important.
Huh.
Please be in office before show. Need at least 15 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm reading that and I think, now hold on. If it's not important, why not just call me up? If it's 15 minutes, what's going on? So this is the thoughts going through my mind.
Sure.
And I'm playing right into this witch doctor's hands.
Oh, he's a witch doctor now.
Because I get up to his office, and he's behind the desk, and he's, you know, got three clocks in there.
Yeah.
Like it's an Austin Powers thing, but all three clocks have the same time on them.
Yeah, it's very funny, actually. It was done by someone who doesn't do a lot of jokes, the way I understand it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Bobby. Bobby
did that, and he's got the... doesn't he have three different clocks all in the same time zone?
Yeah, yes. Because there are...
Which I thought was very funny.
There are three different Infinity radio stations that that he's in charge of. And there's one... You know, at least on two of those clocks, the clocks should be going backwards based on the performance of the radio stations.
I would think so, yes.
Should be one of those backwards clocks.
So the meeting went well. I can just tell by the way you're talking.
No, here's the thing. I don't mind having a meeting with whoever the manager of the month happens to be.
Sure.
That's part of the... That comes along with... A COB, cost of business.
Right.
What I really don't appreciate is when it's set up like that and it's clandestine and it's, you know, you're 15 minutes before and he's got the lights down. And then I go in there and all it is really is kind of like, here's all I hear, the reverberation that I hear back from him.
Yeah.
Rob, can I have a little echo on this? I know I didn't ask you for this in advance.
That's all right.
Can you do it real quickly?
Yeah, I can.
So I'm going to tell you, here's all that happened. It was
recreating.
Hello? Okay, great. Nothing of substance in this meeting.
Uh-huh.
Here's how it goes. Here's how I'm hearing things. I sit down and go, hey, Michael, I'm here. You got me for at least 15 minutes before the meeting start. What can I do for you? I hear blah, 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 blah. What he's really saying is, I just wanted to call you in to remind you, I'm the boss. Don't forget it. No matter what you do around here, you walk around like you're full of piss and vinegar, you think you're on top of the world.
I'm your boss, okay? Don't forget it. Don't call my glasses faggy. When we're in the office, don't make fun of the 3 clocks. Now, Buzz, don't look at me incredulously. He's not actually saying this.
This is just sort of a gist, a vibe.
This is the mantra that
I'm
getting.
This is what you're hearing when he's...
Yes.
The words he's speaking, that is really what's coming through to you.
Right. He's saying, you know, just it's like the Charlie Brown teacher.
Right.
He's just doing that. Mike, you do the Charlie Brown teacher great.
Okay. Do you want me to do it while you're talking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
please
go ahead.
Do. I am your boss. Don't ever forget, you can do nothing at this station without my permission, even though I know nothing that you do on the show, because I'm too busy. I wanted to have this meeting with you, so you would never forget, I am the boss.
And that was it.
And nothing of any other substance then.
No, absolutely, totally a lack of substance.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd call you in to remind you of that.
Right.
I know I'm only here 1 or 2 days a week, and I know that you mock my fag glasses, mm-hmm. but I'm the boss. And then at some point, towards the end of it, your name always gets invoked.
Mm-hmm.
That it's always, incidentally, pass along my best wishes to Mike. Oh. Tell Mike he's doing a great job. And the message there is...
Translated.
Yep. Tell Mike that even though he's not here, I'm his MFing boss, too.
Yeah.
Let him know that, okay? Make sure you tell Mike O'Mara that I, Michael Todd Hughes, mentioned his name, and tell him I'm his boss, too.
Okay. Now, would he interpret the meeting differently, do you think, if he was to describe it? Would he probably say, I didn't say anything of the kind?
No, and he didn't. What he did was talk about...
It's what you heard.
Yeah, he talked about stuff that it don't matter.
Right.
The stuff that he was talking about. Me about it's like conceptual stuff and what do you think the perception of this is with the audience and what do you think about this, what do you think about this on the internet, and it was the whole time I'm just sitting there, you know, why don't you just speak to me? If only he would speak to me in this voice, it would be so much easier.
Maybe they should all have one of those reverb units. Maybe every general manager should have one so that they can really...
That would help.
Listen to me.
Hold on, there it is. I gotta turn it on for you, Mike. Hold on, wait, there you go, you got it.
Come into my office. Sit down. Now I have nothing else to tell you other than I am your boss.
Yeah.
Now get out. I said get out!
Wouldn't it be great if it was like that? I mean, you know, it really is like that.
That's how it is.
I mean, that is the bottom line.
Guys, is the freaking piece of work. He's here.
Haven't they all been pieces of work?
He's like Alexander Haig, though. More than any of the other guys, he wants to jump up to the podium and just scream to anybody, I'm in charge now, gentlemen.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've all had their own little quirks, and it's what makes it interesting, I think.
Yeah, Alan was a bit more background.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Alan's voice always said, when Alan would be speaking, uh-huh. the voice behind said, I'm terrified that I'm going to do something to screw this job up, so I'm going to call you up here and kind of just massage you a little bit, massage your ego to make sure that you don't say anything that, for God's sakes, would make anybody question the job that I'm doing as the general manager at this radio station. I'm very, very insecure. That was Alan.
The real. Then there was the guy before him.
Ken.
And well, do we have a snake sound? I don't know if we have a snake sound.
Here's the Ken sound. I'll give you this one. Perfect. Here's the Ken one. Don and Mike, you guys are the future. Don and Mike, I'm going to dump you as soon as Opie and Anthony get a one share in the ratings.
Uh-huh. And then you hear this sound in the back that was going, I need a reverb for that, too.
There you go, Mike. Hold on. You guys are the future of this station. I'm going to keep you until your ratings go down 0.1%, and then I'm going to bring in the flavor of the month.
There you go.
Oh, hold on, Robbie. There you go.
Ken's office was like the Well of the Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly. It was. So anyway, let me just say, good meeting, Todd.
He still does not pass by the all-time worst, though.
We had one who was particularly, I think, the most evil of anyone that we ever had. And we worked for him for the briefest period of time.
Baumgarten?
Yeah, without question.
Randy Baumgarten.
Is he still at the top of your list?
Yes, and here's
why. He was
one.
Completely, I mean, he was not a human being.
I'll say this about Randy Baumgarten, the general manager we had 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
His two voices were the same.
The same. Mm-hmm.
When you sat in front of him, he would say, "You're a jerk, and I'm the boss." And also his other voice would say, "In case you didn't hear what he just said, you're a jerk and he's the boss."
He would make a statement. His real voice, he would say, "There's nothing to worry about. Everything will remain the same, and your positions are secure here." And his real voice would be going, "You're out of here as soon as the ink dries on the contract."
Yeah, screw them all. So we're here, we're queer, we're doing the show.
Yeah.
I'm getting in the Christmas spirit. I think I mentioned a couple days ago that I was not in the Christmas spirit.
Right.
I'll tell you exactly what got me into the Christmas spirit. The Clay Aiken special.
Well, sure.
Now, last night I turned this thing on.
With his hat.
And I thought it almost could be an episode of America's Most Wanted where they go and catch like a kid toucher or something. Because the beginning... It's him. It's like a Michael Jackson thing.
Mm.
You know, these effeminate singers should not be surrounding themselves with young, impressionable children, even in these, the most...
Well, that's what they do, though.
In the most innocent of situations, because the first thing I thought is...
I hate using children for any kind of performance.
It's Clay Aiken, you know. And all these little kids, and he's singing, "I'm dreaming," and what he's saying, he's like stroking the pigtails on the little girl.
Whenever you see something like that, whenever I see a performance like that, it's one thing if, stage mom and stage dad want to put their kids on a TV show, and they happen to be a prodigy, and they become the Olsen twins or whatever, and we're one of those brats that's on any of those TV shows.
Right.
But when you get the mass production numbers where the children are treated like trained monkeys, and you know that there are parents in the back going, "Johnny, you were supposed to turn to the right there."
Well, I think a lot of times it's the parents of the, it's the kids, rather, of the parents that work behind the scenes on the show.
Yeah, that might be the case.
Like,
sure.
Like if there's a, you know, the best boy, whatever they call it, the grip guy, you know, the guy on the big steady cam.
Yeah.
You know, chance for little Johnny Steadicam to get on TV.
I equate it with the same thing as halftime shows. You know, when you see like halftime shows where everybody's running out on the field and everybody's got different colored flag.
This is the new phenomenon of halftime shows where you have now, and it has to be a politically correct rock act like Bon Jovi.
Something.
Like if Bon Jovi's playing at the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl, the NFL says, okay, we need approximately 1,000 children between the ages of 13 and 17. We would like this mix. 33% white, 33% black, 21% Mexican, and the rest, surprise me.
Yeah.
Throw some Asians in, give me a couple of crippled kids, and whatever you do, feed them sugar before the show, and tell them if they're good, we won't kill their parents after the Super Bowl. Now, kids, go out and act like you love Bon Jovi.
And that's not a new phenomenon. I mean, it's been going on since a little group that used to make me nauseous known as Up With People.
Yeah, but see,
and they used to have the corner on a lot of those halftime shows.
But yeah. Up With
To Honor America, please join the Up With People singers.
But Up With People didn't involve all these other kids.
They're older teenagers. Now they do. Now they bring in, and you're right, it's all probably kids that are connected in some way.
Like,
you know.
Listen, you're watching...
Who knows? Maybe they have a good time, but it doesn't look like it. It really looks like somebody standing there with, like, a bayonet and they're going, "Get out on that stage."
If it's Bon Jovi and it's a 12-year-old girl and John Bon Jovi is singing Living on a Prayer, you know, you do the math. The song was out 20 friggin' years ago.
You know, I think maybe the reason I'm bringing this up is my own guilt, because I got done doing that parade with my kids, and I was thinking, really, this was my true belief, that at 9 and 7 years old, they were going to have a blast, that they would dig it, that they would be into it, and I don't think that they had any...
No.
You know, idea of, you know, and really, they, I don't know how much fun they had. And if it's not fun for them, I don't want them to do that.
Who knew they wouldn't be thrilled?
It wasn't like they were unhappy.
Right.
But it's like it's not like they were euphoric. They would have been happy to throw candy to people.
Right.
That's the way they put it. But to sit there for, you know, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and wave at people, you know, and I got that feeling with the kids that are in these shows. Bing Crosby used to do it to his kids all the time.
But this Clay Aiken show, once I got had the awful images that my mind would not stop processing of Clay
right, sure.
With the children. I did get into the Christmas spirit, and I have to give my wife a little credit. Well, hi, Robbie.
Did Clay do any, like, shtick? Like, you know, Bob Hope would have the music, but then there was shtick.
Gags.
I wish I could tell you I stayed the whole hour with it.
You didn't?
I did not stay the whole hour.
I give you credit for tuning in the first place.
Well, I tuned in because who doesn't love that that milquetoast strawed hair freak?
I don't.
I do. And, oh, and I did tune back later with... Barry Manilow came out.
You see, my
as his special Christmas
did
they, guest.
Did Clay sing any duets with any women?
Megan Mullally?
I think he did, yes, with the lady from Will and Grace.
Sure.
She'd be good for shtick. Now, she could do a sketch.
And then he and Barry Manilow did some ballroom dancing, and they sang.
Was there anything where Clay was wearing, like, oversized boxing trunks?
There was nothing like that, like Bob Hope used to do Sugar Ray.
Anything in a sauna?
And I mean Sugar Ray Leonard, not Sugar Ray, right. The guy that now is on the show that's like Access Hollywood.
McGrath.
So here's what my wife did. Huh. I only have one complaint. She went to Target.
Right.
She went to Target.
Yes. Oh.
However.
And I commend her for that.
Not Walmart.
She did buy all of the bulbs that I need. The great, big, gigantic, outdoor, red, blue, yellow, green Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all, I'll do all of the trees out front this weekend. I'll do the front to the house.
I'm all done. I beat you. I am done.
Are you really?
Got it all done.
And right. Okay, what did you do?
I put a wreath up. Fantastic.
Okay, Mike. You're the winner.
Thank you.
Can I say winner?
Might actually be, there might be some candles in the windows. And that's it. That's the name of that tune.
Well, Saturday, I'm going to be out. No, thanks for that. Saturday, I'll be out there.
Wiring the lights.
And the other thing that my wife did, and she did this to be nice, but it just, once again, just reaffirmed what an idiot I am. When she was out buying Christmas stuff, she came into the office this morning and said, hey, I bought some Christmas stuff for you.
Wow.
I said, oh, don't show it to me now. And she said, no, it's like pre-Christmas stuff. And it's stuff, really, that you would either buy a five-year-old or a retarded boy.
You loved it?
Yeah, oh, of course I did. It was a giant Christmas stocking that has Batman sticking out of the top of it.
Ah, that's wonderful.
And then she got me a Superman Christmas ornament, a Spider-Man Christmas ornament, a Batman Christmas ornament.
Oh, that's great.
And then, like, a Packers Christmas ornament. And she had her arms were just full of this crap.
Where'd she get it?
Target, Mike.
Yeah, and she got everything she needed, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. So
I rest my case.
So she was, she's standing there with this stuff, and she said, what's wrong? Don't you like it? And the thing is, I said, I love it. But the problem is, these are the things that you would buy, I'm serious, for either a five-year-old
right.
or like a retarded. Because she goes, hold on to what I got for you. I know you've got a Christmas stocking, but do you have a Christmas stocking that has Batman coming out of the top of it? It is cool because it's a big Batman coming right out on the top.
I guess it is a little weird now that you're...
46.
Your son has moved out of the house. It's a little odd, you know.
And listen, are she and I going through, not major issues, but issues about this. He has his final exam in 3 hours, not that I'm counting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then he's done. It's December 9th, and he's done. I know you think that we get a lot of vacation time. He's done for like a month.
Right, right.
He doesn't have to go back for a freaking month.
Well, that's usually what it is. That's the winter break. It's not unusual. Some kids have it 2 weeks down the road. That's their last exam. Some have it earlier, but you know, he'll have to go back earlier, like probably right after the holiday. Right?
No, he has to go back on January 11th.
Wow,
I'm not exaggerating when I say a month.
Wow,
he has a month off.
Wow.
He has no job because he's a college student,
mm-hmm.
and we love him, you know, more than anything. And I went through more withdrawal than Frieda did when he moved away a year and a half ago to college. I had the empty nest thing, but now we kind of got it down to a science.
Yeah.
And frankly, to be honest with you, we are just now getting over the fact that he's been back a couple of times.
Thanksgiving.
Already on Thanksgiving. Like
right.
The house being turned upside down, and we get back into that mode of, what time are you going to be home? You know, and now he's able to throw out, I'm almost 20 years old.
Is he going
to
do the old jobberoo when he comes back? That's what I did.
Well, Mike.
I was a school bus driver.
I know you were.
I love that job.
I know you were, Otto.
Got to drive in a snowstorm, too.
And I
had a great technique to get the kids' attention. And then there were only minor neck injuries.
That's good.
I brought it up to him.
Yeah. Now, well, that's usually what, I mean, with that kind of a break, that's what you do.
My wife brought it up to me. She said, do you know if he's done anything about a job? And I said, no. And she said, well, ask him. I said, all right, I'll call him. So I call him. I go, hey, what are you going to do about a job when you're home? He said, a job doing what? That was his quote. I said, a job where you will earn money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, I'm on my break.
Well, see, everybody's hiring now, and a lot of college kids get hired when they come back.
I know that.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know that. I know that. So we're looking at a month of, and also very soon now is going to be the arrival of a more permanent member in my home, Big Frida. That will be starting at Christmas time.
It's going to be a good holiday season for you.
It's going to be the best holiday ever.
The best ever.
Like the best holiday ever. So, anyway, he's, you know, I don't know. Shouldn't part of the deal when you send your kid to school, send him to a college, to a nice college. He's not going to Harvard or Yale. He's going to Clemson.
He's going to a good school.
It's a nice school. Shouldn't part of the deal be, listen, we'll only send him home for 2 weeks at a crack.
Mm-hmm. You know, military. You needed military school.
No, see, but I can't do that to him, Buzz.
Okay.
I can't.
Well, he can stay down there if he wants.
Do it for yourself, Don.
If you tell him to.
Yeah, but he didn't want us to stay down there by himself.
I mean, you know, everybody comes back home. That's
and
the
truth is, I want him to come home for the holidays. I do. I mean, I can't imagine Christmas without my son, without my entire family right there.
All right.
But I think, like, you know, the day after Christmas, I would write to him and say, okay. You know, listen, Daddy's got a little vacation time left. And,
well, the really spoiled kids that I went to college with would get done with the holiday, they get done with Christmas, and then they'd do the old triparoo. They'd go somewhere. They'd take a trip somewhere. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well,
but that was only a small group.
I would do that, except I don't want to give them the money. It's like, you know, what am I going to do? He's going to lay around the house. He's going to stink up the house. He'll sleep till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be constant fights about food, about various beverages, about friends, about where he's going. I guess I'd rather have that than just say, here's some dough. Go up to New England for a week with your friends.
Yeah, but 1 week you might, you know, if he does like the ski thing. And does he ski?
Well, he's got the dislocated shoulder.
Yeah. Right?
So he doesn't ski.
He really won't be home much, right? He'll be out with his friends.
And Mike, that also works with his looking for a job. He keeps bringing that up again.
Yeah. Right.
Well, injured. I mentioned it to him this morning. As
one word, retail.
He said, well, actually, his job over the summer was in retail.
Yeah.
And he still found that to be
taxing
for his shoulder.
Boxes.
You know, with his dislocated shoulder that he dislocated, a year ago.
Shells.
But now as we're getting also...
So the shoulder is still out of place then.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's popping out a lot. It's popping out. Now, I'm not making this up, and I don't think he is either.
No, of course not.
I don't think my kid lies about
that. Right, right. So he's in constant pain?
And I said to him, you should go to the doctor. I'll make you the appointment to go to the doctor.
This would be a good time.
He said, well, no, the doctor told me that if I come back again, the only thing that he can do is operate. And if the doctor operates and they fix whatever's wrong with his shoulder, he's only going to be able to lift his shoulder about yay high, like get about 45 degree angle. He's not going to be able to lift it up all the way.
So they got a procedure that's going to eventually be done? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, my understanding is that he just never went and did like the physical therapy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he never did that. It's now third time this kid's had his shoulder scoped. Third time that they've said, you'll be okay if you just do the follow-up, and then...
Well, he's got a month.
Yeah, he's got a month, Buzz. He's got a month.
Just trying to help. It sounds like you are in the Christmas spirit.
Well, you know, believe it or not, I am.
No,
that's for me, that's all part of the Christmas spirit.
Right.
Knowing that I'm going to be wound up out of control for a couple of weeks now.
I'm not.
And I'm thinking about the shopping now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, I've not bought, except for some of you boys on the show, I have not bought item one yet.
I've only purchased one Christmas present.
I've not done anything. I'm going to have to go out and do everything all at once.
You should know how much I care about you.
Why?
I've only bought one present. And it's yours.
Well, thank you.
And it was weeks ago. And well thought out, and I did something I haven't done in about 4 years. You know, well, when I went through my dark period, you know, I mean, the whole separation thing, I wasn't thinking about any of that. So I thought about it, but it's still. I went out over the weekend and was trying to go Christmas shopping, and I actually was going to buy an artificial tree, and it was so crowded and so many people picking over and so much over merchandising in the stores where they've got too much stuff, and I got overwhelmed. I'm trying again tonight. I'm going to go out for like an hour tonight
and see
what I can do. It's just, and see, maybe there's a little less traffic.
I'll be very honest. Really, the easiest way, I shouldn't even bitch about this. If I sit down on Saturday, really, for 2 hours on the computer.
Right. I'm really moving towards that myself.
I can take care of everybody. I don't buy this crap about I've got to feel the sweater or touch the sweater. Because if I go into a store to buy a sweater, the last thing I want to do is waste time touching it. It's like, it looks okay. Sure, put it in a box.
You go into these department stores where they have, you know, most Christmas gifts, I think, for most people are you know, in that $25 to $55 range.
Yeah.
Where you, and there's so many things that they have stacked up on tables.
Right.
And just, it's, I mean, I'm overwhelmed by it.
Hot and crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it. And, Mike, don't buy an artificial tree.
Really?
No. Buy a real tree.
Well, you know, I'm not around that much, you know.
Buy a real tree. It's not a fire hazard.
Unless you're not around.
Not in a 100-year-old house.
No, it'd be fine.
Do you have an extra one to sell? Is that why?
You never can tell.
Yeah, okay, see, there's his motives, Mike.
You got a tree to sell?
I know, because
I might.
I'm getting one from Rob's Uncle Phil.
Right.
And I know he's probably got one left.
You never
I'm a year away. I'm a year away, and I'm already...
Well, it won't keep that long.
I mean, I'm going down. I'm taking my kids down to Florida. That's what I'm doing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be here, and they won't be in the house for, you know, until we leave. So my feeling is, you know, for me, it's not like I got to open my door and look to the left and go, ah, oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. I got my wreath.
Maybe next year.
I got my wreath that smells like Christmas, and I got these Glade plugins that have the mistletoe scent. You know, that Christmas. Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, that's sad.
No, it's not. It's called mistletoe, but it's a balsam thing.
That's sad.
Oh, they are awesome. They are absolutely.
It's like the Lonely Hearts Club.
No,
really?
It's a Christmas light, and it gives off a scent.
No. What it is you know those air fresheners that they make now.
Yes, I know the
plug-in variety. Instead of using powder fresh, what you do is you get, it's like they call it evergreen, and it smells like a Christmas tree. And I got a bunch of them, and they are fantastic. But, and I said, why is that? Don't give me that look. Why is that pathetic?
I didn't say pathetic.
You were looking at me like that in that pathetic tone of voice.
Sad.
Why is that sad? It is not sad. Now, don't feel sorry for me, please.
I don't feel sorry for you now.
I don't need your pity.
I don't feel sorry for you now because you've rebounded from your whole thing with with that.
Yeah, but I mean,
I feel sorry for you. That's something a loser would do.
What? No, it's not. You're equating it with like a hot plate.
Yeah.
All right.
At least you know where I'm coming.
You are equating it. You're equating it with a hot plate. And,
yes, I am. And I'm sorry to equate it. To a hot plate, but Mike, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And you shouldn't. It's a nice.
I just picture scent. You in your new old.
Yeah.
Older house.
Right.
New old house. Going around the house, like, 10 of these things, plugging them in everywhere, and then walking around going, man,
Christmas.
Sure do smell like Christmas.
Well, you know, I'm still up to my ass in boxes, so, I mean, I had to do a little quick fix. I like the smell, like those candles. I like the, you know, the Yankee candles they make with the mistletoe scent. I love that. And what this is it's a plug-in version of the candle. And then so, you know, and candles are... And here's a message from one of my firefighter friends who I play golf with, who says really those things, those candles, around this time of year are probably the single most dangerous thing that people keep in their houses.
Oh, any time of year.
Yeah, any time of year you don't use.
Oh, for sure.
No, at my house we use candles.
Thank you guys. Thanks for backing me up on that.
We use candles on our tree.
They used to.
I know. You can't imagine how we even
survived. Hey, Rob.
Roman candles.
And, you know,
and I fill my tree stand with gasoline.
And you know what? In those days, Rob, the houses were made of wood.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. See, what could go wrong?
Watch out.
Yeah. I know chemistry. It's no problem.
I feel I'm dangerously close to getting the Christmas spirit.
You're flirting with it?
Just be advised. I'm flirting with it. I think I've gotten to first base. Mike, what are you making a face about?
I'm not there. And I'm worried I might not be.
Because you got plug-ins, that's why.
That's not the reason.
I got you your song. Did it help?
Yeah, oh, it did help. Rob got me Porky Pig's Blue Christmas, and I well, you know what you want to talk about? You know, you talked about your little Batman stocking.
Yeah.
When I'm driving home last night, and the whole time, because Rob put it on, God bless you, you put it on a continuous loop, so I didn't even have to touch my little CD player, and it's just the whole time, I'll have a bitty blue Christmas without you. And I it's my favorite thing, and
you go home and listen to that while you're smelling your Glade plugins.
No, it did worse than that. Fine.
Would you have some baked beans right now?
No, I brought
right out of the can. Did
you drink some turkey soda?
No, I brought it to the cafe and made the DJ play it.
Oh, thanks. Look around, cafe.
Hey, you know what?
What?
It really went over big.
I expect so.
Any booing?
You know, just shy. Just shy. Booing would be a reaction.
Groaning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But at least no riot.
But it's kind of old, too.
Fellas, yeah.
Today's date, December 9.
Yes.
Anybody have an idea why that's an important date?
No.
Nope, because Pearl Harbor Day was a couple days ago.
That's
never,
right.
Never forget.
Yeah.
Today is the 76th birthday of Dick Van Patten.
76 years young.
76.
Oh, and he's in great shape.
Dick Van Patten from Made is Enough. Sing it.
I love Dick Van Patten.
Everybody knows.
God, I hate this song. When the sunrise smiles. Isn't there something about, like, little girls turning into cupcakes or... There's something about it, wishes.
A plate of homemade wishes on your windowsill.
Eight is Enough. So Dick Van Patten was on Eight is Enough. He also played donkey basketball with us.
Yes.
We've been to his house. We've played tennis at his house.
He sent Joe out to the backstage at his stage show.
He toured in the Sunshine Boys.
The Sunshine Boys with Frank Gorshin.
So we're going to call now, see if we can get him. If not, we're going to get his message. It's cool to put his message on the air, so don't dump out of that.
I love it.
He always has a joke if he's not there.
I bet he has his tree up.
Oh, I bet he has his tree as well.
Yeah. Maybe Pat will.
His...
Hello, Dick.
Hi, this is Dick and Pat. Joke of the week. A man is driving along 60 miles an hour. All of a sudden, a three-legged chicken goes right past him, runs faster than the car. He sees the chicken go into a farm. He drives into the farm. He sees a farmer there. He says to the farmer, did you see that three-legged chicken, how fast he was? The farmer says, that's right. I breed them because there's my wife, my daughter, and me. We all like the drumsticks, so I breed three-legged chickens. The guy says, well, how do they taste? He says, I don't know. I can't catch them.
Hey, Dick.
Hi, Dick.
Dick, it's Don and Mike and Robbie and Buzz. Just want to call and say happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, Dick Van Patten. Happy thinking of you on this special day.
And happy holidays to you and all the Van Patten.
Our best to Nels.
And Tito.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe sometime when you come back east, we can get you into a poker game.
We'd love to. And our best to Doug McClure.
Yes, the late Doug McClure.
Sorry
about that.
Yeah.
Rick, Dick, I didn't mean that. I know you used to play poker with him all the
our
time.
Best
no, tennis.
Mel and Carl.
He played tennis with Doug.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Hey, Dick.
Forget about
Dick, it's Don. Mike has all these Glade plug-in things to smell like Christmas trees in his house.
They're really nice if you don't want to trouble yourself with a tree.
Give them a try.
Do you have your tree up, Dick?
They're sad.
All right. You remember us, right, Dick? We played donkey basketball with you. You know us.
You had us out to the house.
We sent our guy, Joe Ardinger, out there with cigarettes for Frank Gorshin.
Yeah, you remember us.
Hey, and incidentally, which one is it? Who's the one that's doing the poker tour?
Vince
is doing a great job. And, man, he was right at the cutting edge. I remember when you told us about that.
Well, happy birthday, Dick.
Yes.
And don't forget, Mike has... plug it.
I'm bringing him in the studio.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Probably take us off the air. No, maybe the studio.
Maybe it would burn this building down. That would be a Christmas miracle.
I'm going to bring him in.
Dick, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dick Van Patten.
Happy birthday, Dick.
Hola.
Are we going? Are we out?
Yeah, we're out.
All right.
As it was.
He'll love that message.
Weird.
Why not?
You know what's weird? He will.
Yeah, he will.
He will. He'll call next week. That was a great message.
I love you guys.
You know, it's been a couple of days and we've not done a phone scan on this show.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you'll notice now.
Yeah.
877-365-3636. Sometimes dangerous, sometimes great. Do a phone scan this early in the show. 877-365-3636 from America, Canada. 800-636-1067.
And remember, callers, say something bad about the air fresheners and I'll sock you in the eye.
Your calls on the road, a rotating random phone scan lies straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I know that guy from Meet the Press. I think Excuse me, sir. Oh. Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. Excuse me, sir. Are you Tim? Excuse me. Are you Tim from Meet the Press?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, hi. Nice to see you.
I'm Ronnie. I seen Meet the Press a couple of times.
You ever see Face the Nation? Bob Schieffer's right here.
Oh, Bob Schieffer from CBS.
Much better.
Hi, Bob. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Hi. I seen you on CBS.
Here we go on air in 1 minute.
Oh.
Yeah. That's so good with Tim Russert, isn't it?
Oh, deftly handled.
There's Bob Schieffer.
Yeah, go bother him.
With furs by Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Okay, phone scan straight ahead at 877-365-3636. Just got a note here. Somebody in the back room found this on the Philadelphia Inquirer website today.
Ah, yes.
About Clay Aiken. It's funny, I had no idea that this article had been written.
Okay.
Let me share this with you for a second.
Okay.
Because I told you I got creeped out watching him with the kids.
Yes, yes. But also in a magical way, you got the Christmas spirit.
Yes. let me see. There are kids at a Pennsylvania high school, Clearview Regionals Vocal Ensemble.
All right.
They deserve an A for stomaching the sour taste of fame.
Wow.
Ask Clay Aiken, which is what happened last week when this Gloucester County School's vocal group got the opportunity of a lifetime to sing with Clay Aiken at his sold-out concert. By night's end, the Claymates had been bullied and berated.
Ooh.
They were stiffed for their services.
Ooh.
When one grown-up dared to speak up, Clay Aiken dressed her down. He said, "Ma'am, you're a disgrace." Only it wasn't some pushy stage mom that he tossed from the performance hall.
No.
It was the 2003 New Jersey Teacher of the Year.
Oh,
not that man. She wants to relive the humiliation or any of these kids. The boy toy, that's what we're calling it, Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clay Aiken said to the teacher he threatened to make big trouble if they talked to reporters about what happened.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's what happened. We're reading what's happening. Right before Thanksgiving, they're doing a concert. They get a last-minute invitation to perform with Clay Aiken on his Joyful Noise tour that stopped in Philly last Thursday.
Okay.
Clay Aiken Christmas last night, blah, blah. Tickets for the concert cost up to $127.
What happened?
Clayaiken.com. You can even buy holiday wrapping paper with his face for $15.
Let's get some.
We should get that on our website.
Absolutely.
I mean, our stuff. You know what you could sell on our website? It would be toilet paper with our faces on it.
A brilliant idea.
Boy, I'm not going to buy that. Clearview's vocal ensemble doesn't have a merchandising deal yet, but they do have a sterling reputation. This is a little background on these kids.
This is the high school group.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
These kids sang Mozart at Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
They performed on the Today Show. They have done numerous charitable concerts. They are one of the top five choirs among school kids in the entire country.
So they've got the credentials.
Correct. So here's all that happened. Hal Clay Aiken went diva on them and reneged on promised FaceTime and autographs with the students. Clay Aiken sicked his security goons on a student who dared to take his picture during rehearsal.
Sure.
He fought with the award-winning teacher in front of the entire class.
Why did they fight?
Because hold on. Let me go back to the first.
I mean, I'd like to hear what the details are.
The details.
This is good.
She says he's telling them, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. These are quotes now. We didn't get paid. We didn't get food. We didn't get our pictures taken with you. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Clay Aiken says, these are quotes, quiet, quiet, quiet. I will make trouble for anyone in this room that talks to a reporter. And it's at that point that the teacher stands up and says, you are, all the quotes are here. The teacher stands up and says, these kids don't want to be in show business. These are kids that love singing. They look up to you, Clay Aiken. He said, get out of my face. To the teacher, in front of the kids. Hold on. Then we have...
So were they singing too loudly? Is that what the issue was?
I'm not really sure. I think the issue was they were taking his picture.
Okay. And then obviously one of the kids...
And then one of them said, we're not getting anything to eat over here. Clay Aiken's people made a big deal about giving a $500 donation to the vocal ensemble.
Right.
And when they were on stage, he did give them an envelope that was empty. Now, they thought that might just be a stage thing.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
They never got the money.
Oh, now that's bad.
They never got the money.
Dear. That is big time bad.
And the reason that the kids were mad is Clay Aiken's crew kept the students hungry for 7 hours. Moments before showtime, they delivered a meager supply of ice-cold Happy Meal chicken nuggets.
Mm.
The ratio of food to students, 1.5 chicken nuggets per student.
Oh, my God.
They're plenty when they're cold.
After teachers told the Philadelphia Inquirer they couldn't talk about this, the superintendent of the school, Clearview Superintendent Mike Toscano, spoke for everybody. He was very diplomatic. He said, oh, is Clay going to sing here? Clay?
Oh, right. Holy night.
Sure. So here's what the superintendent of the school says. My kids got a very big picture of the music industry. They had their eyes opened. They got a taste of real life show business that they had never had before.
Yeah, that is.
You know, but you know what? I hate that.
Yeah, it's too.
You know, why don't you come out and back the kids a little bit more? You know, well, instead of that wussy answer.
No, I think the way that they're writing this, she's writing that he was being about as cynical as he could possibly be.
Of course he was. I just wish that article had more detail. I'd love to know, you know, exactly where the blow up. And I guess if it all happened because of. A picture was taken. But you know what? You don't need more detail because, I mean, he stiffed him for the money.
I'm reading the whole thing right now.
I got a nugget.
By night's end, the kids had been bullied and berated and were hungry. Then they were told that they were being stiffed for their services. There was no pay. They had the empty envelope.
Right.
It
was a donation to their choir.
They didn't even want, like, an hourly rate.
No, they wanted to get a donation to get,
they wanted the money.
Yeah, right.
Then at this point, the teacher stands up. And says it's only fair. And I'm reading the story now. The teacher dared to speak up and say, this isn't fair. Clay Aiken dressed her down. He said, ma'am, you are a disgrace.
Uh-huh.
It was not a pushy stage mom that he had thrown out of the performance hall. It was the 2003 New Jersey Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
And she's, you know, of course they all say this, I'm sure she'll sue him. She's so upset she can't talk about it.
Of course, emotional distress.
How about that Clay Aiken?
Wow.
I think you learned that.
Lovey-dovey Clay.
That put me in the Christmas mood last night.
Sure. Maybe he learned that from the way the other American Idol contestants are treated.
And now maybe...
Yeah, really.
Robbie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Robbie. But, anything in the article? Were the students wearing their Sunday best?
I don't know. It was not the problem. I forgot that. That's,
man, you are a disgrace. Get out of my side.
Wow. That's another one of his rules. You're going to go see his holiday concert. You got to wear your Sunday best.
I don't know. Just give him some chicken nuggets that we have in the back.
1.5 chicken nuggets for each student.
That's plenty of food.
Cold.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Frank Sinatra with a tune dedicated to Michael Mayer. Fingers in the knob.
He sits, he lays, in wait.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you enjoyed that song tremendously.
It was clever.
Yes, it was.
It was his most clever finger call.
And as I say to him every time, pick somebody else on the show, please.
But I think the fact that you're saying that...
Yeah. Yes, means like, he's going to stay with me forever.
Yeah. You should embrace...
You know what? I hope he stays with me forever.
There you go, him. Mike. There you go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, phone scan. Hi.
How you guys doing?
How do you think? Have you listened to the show today?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a pretty good mood.
Well, we're all right, but, you know, we were sitting here 7 hours before the show started, and all we had was a 1.5 chicken nuggets.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering if any of you guys got roped into watching that Clay Aiken Christmas last night. Like,
hey, dude, have you been listening to the show today?
For about 20 minutes, I just turned it on.
What do you mean you just turned it on? We were just talking about it.
We were talking about it in the last 20 minutes.
I just did a whole thing about Clay Aiken. I watched the stupid show, and now then he was mean to the kids in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Dude. You're like the worst.
Yeah, and then you say, what's up? How you doing?
We just, 30 seconds before we took your call, finished talking about Clay Aiken.
The whole opening of the show.
For the 20 minutes you said you were listening.
Eject.
Oh. You know, we've made it too easy.
Too easy.
We've made it too easy. I hope some of those shoots don't open.
Unbelievable.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Thanks.
I want to get your opinion on something.
Yeah.
I have a Jewish friend at home, and their family adopted a Chinese baby. Do you think it's appropriate for them to call him Chewy?
Hold on. Is this a serious question?
Yes.
Okay. You have Jewish friends.
Uh-huh.
They have adopted a Chinese baby.
Yes.
They want to call the baby Chewy?
Yes.
Why do they want to call the baby?
Some sort of joke?
No, I swear to God, it's serious.
It sounds too stupid to be a joke. Why would they want to name him Chewy?
Because they're Jewish and the baby's Chinese, so they want to try to make the joke and call him Chewy.
No. This is another eject. This is so moronic, it's not even dignified. It doesn't dignify an answer.
Chewy? But you see, if it was Chewy, it would have to be like a Latino. You know, that's the whole, hey, Chewy, what's happening? You're a low rider.
How you doing, sir?
I just had a question.
How are you doing, though?
I'm okay. How are you, Mike?
Are you in the Christmas spirit?
I guess so. But I guess. Can I say something else?
What?
Can I say something else?
Absolutely.
Sure. Go ahead.
Look around.
Yeah. Hi there, yeah. Don and Mike show phone scan. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
You people.
Yeah.
You people. You shouldn't be out there. Hello.
I have learned something from the Don and Mike show. Not like the other guys.
Good.
Let me just stop you right now.
Okay.
Please don't have the gall to say you're not like the other guys.
Until you prove yourself.
Because right now you sound to me just like all the other guys.
We'll be the judges of that.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Okay.
Mr. Don, your favorite saying of pound sand, I really liked it, and I was inspired to go and look up the origins of it, and I found out that it's from a longer saying, to not know how to, or to not have sense to, pound sand down a rat hole. And it dates back to at least 1912.
All right, you've saved yourself.
I believe this is a thoughtful call.
Yes, you know, and
to pound sand down a rat hole.
Now you deserve the accolades that you wanted at the beginning of the call.
Yes, you are better than the other two guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Rob's shaking his head. Yeah,
and
It could go south.
I'm just, based on the merits of this call, on a good phone scan, you would probably be able to go, yeah, all right, thanks for calling.
You'd be
goodbye.
In the second tier on a good phone scan.
Today, you're in the top tier.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it then.
Today, you're in the NFC.
And was there any explanation why they pounded sand down a rat hole?
No, and he's gone.
He's gone.
But I can confirm his report.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's true.
I think sometimes that's how we're going to have to describe these phone scans. They're either AFC phone scans or NFC phone scans.
I think it would be to fill the rat hole so the rat would not return.
I would think so.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Don and Mike?
Yes, we are.
Hey, the only problem with that whole Clay Aiken thing, man, is I think the problem taking the pictures, I think he had a pair of kids' underoos on or something when she was taking the picture. Hey, Mike, be careful with them Glade plugins, man. Seriously, you know what they say about putting them in rooms where you might have underage children and all there. You know, want Carla to burn her fingers on them or anything like that.
Okay,
so
this would be another NFC caller.
Yeah, NFC caller all the way.
And
CFL.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I agree with Rob. CFL.
Where I'm coming from on this, if you're not a sports fan, the AFC has, like, all the good teams. There's going to be four or five teams in the AFC that have kick-ass records. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Yes, the AFC championship will probably be more like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in the NFC, you've got the Eagles, which would be, up to this point on our phone scan, the one guy that called.
Yes.
And everybody else sucks.
Terrible.
There are teams like Carolina. They lost their first seven games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, they're in the playoff hunt now.
Yes.
Because the NFC is so vastly
inferior to the AFC.
Stop it.
So let's see. You want to bet where the next call is coming from?
NFC.
Buzz?
Sacramento?
Buzz, you don't even get it.
No,
Mike,
I do.
Thank you for playing along. I will
but
get
that was an NFC statement you just made.
Mike, I'm going to be an optimist. I'm going to say AFC.
I sure hope so.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Phones again.
Gentlemen,
Hi.
Keep up the good work. Great show. But I have to hold your feet to the fire, Don.
About what?
The Ron and Fez show.
What about
You've been on record as saying that you hate and you find shows that repeat phone numbers continuously absolutely horrible, etc.
I do. There's no need for that.
Do you still think the same thing?
Why? Do Ron and Fez repeat the phone number?
Absolutely. All show long.
Well, why are you calling us?
I'm just asking because you plug them now. Oh, they're the best.
They are. Ron and Fez are a great show.
They
Listen,
are.
That's one of my idiosyncrasies about radio.
I mean, we like Ron and Fez. They are funny guys. And if you got a problem with the phone number, I mean, I think you're calling the wrong show.
I don't. But Don has.
No, listen, hold on. You misunderstand, and incidentally, Mike, you're the winner. This guy's an NFC caller.
I knew it was an NFC.
And this is
but where are you calling from, sir?
But he's not calling from Sacramento.
But that's fair. He's not calling from Sacramento?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
It's 410, so it's got to be Baltimore. The thing is this. That's a small nitpicky thing. Also, I don't like it when DJs say, hey, and we're going to break now. Johnny and Fred, you're on the line on hold. There's a lot of things that radio guys do that I don't like. I like Ron and Fez's show. It's a compliment to them. I've never noticed that they give out the phone number a lot.
All show long. I mean,
Well, sir, you're the one with the problem with it because I've not noticed it.
But I have to tell you, really, if you do, if it's a real problem, and do you agree that they're funny guys?
No, it's a great show.
So, I mean, I really think you should direct it to, to one of their producers and say, do that, and then they can tell you.
Well,
I just
found it ironic that...
You know what I find ironic? The fact that you were on this show for, like, 3.5 minutes. Get out of here, for God's sakes.
And that's a wimpy guy. That's a guy that doesn't have the guts to call Ron and Fez himself, so he's going in a roundabout way.
Just trying to pick a fight.
Trying to put words in your mouth. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they give the phone number all the time.
You're still in that Christmas spirit.
No. I've not heard Ron and Fez give their phone number more than once or twice.
No.
I really haven't.
I believe they do it at the front of the show. That's about it.
If they do, who cares? Right. I mean, they do it so well, I can't notice it.
It's entertaining. Why do you care?
Now, there are some shows, man, where it's like, okay, hi.
hi, boy. How about that air travel, huh?
555-2727. Lines are open right now. Lines are hopping. I see a line has just opened up. If you want to call 555, talk to me.
So, are you a Kerry supporter or a Bush supporter? Here's the phone number again.
Hey, I see a line that's just popped open, so it's your opportunity to call it 555, talk to me.
Listen, I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm going to keep you on hold through the commercial break.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, premium member here. You guys going to be giving away any slacks today?
Okay. All right, you know what? That's an AFC caller.
That, I believe, is the best call of all time.
Of all time. It's a reference to Bill O'Reilly's website. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, it's Clay Aiken. Keep the secret, my sweet.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's AFC caller.
Hi. Well,
I heard you guys talking earlier.
Don't be so sure about that.
What Buffalo calling?
I mean, literally, because you're calling from a team that is represented in the AFC doesn't mean you're really an AFC caller.
We'll determine that at the end of this call.
See, it has nothing to do with the city you're calling from. It has to do with the quality of your phone call.
Don, the fact that you've had to explain that to him.
He's an NFC caller.
He's an NFC caller already.
Yes, you are.
All right, Don, I had a question. I heard you earlier talking about Bart's dislocated shoulder. How did he do that?
He was playing flag football when he was in 10th grade.
Oh, 10th grade. Oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, a really bad NFC. Like an NFC.
You're deep in the NFC.
This guy is like San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1-13, whatever they are. No chance. You know, there could be a plane wreck with Philadelphia, St. Louis, Minnesota, and Green Bay, and they still wouldn't make the playoffs, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I'm glad we called him early.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Hey, just wanted to, first of all, thank Rob for that great throwaway line about the turkey soda. He made me blow Diet Coke out my nose.
I heard it.
Oh, good.
Hey, secondly, remember the lady you spoke with who sold that piece of toast to GoldenPalace.com?
Right, yes.
She appeared here in Las Vegas at their whim, wearing her Golden Palace hat, T-shirt, and so on. And they've attached a tag name to this whole promotion now, and it is Passion of the Toast.
passion of the toaster,
okay,
milking it for all it's worth.
Thank you, and I believe you're an NFC call. I think you, but you might be like...
Go Bears.
Mike, I would say maybe Seattle.
All right.
Maybe 6-6.
Yeah, okay. You're being very kind.
Yeah, I can't help it. Mike, is the holidays.
I understand.
You know me.
Yes, I know you. Father Christmas.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Well, I'm looking at St. Nick.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Especially the last couple of years. I mean, you're out of it this year, but the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, big time.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hello. Hi there.
Hi. I don't know if it'll help you get back in the Christmas spirit, but if you've never heard of someone called the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, go see them at the Patriot Center Wednesday night.
Why have I heard of that name of that band, Trans-Siberian? What do they do? I have some sort of like good
they
thought
actually
of that.
Had a medium, like a charting record a few years back called Christmas Eve in Sarajevo.
Right.
It's real dark, but it's good.
You but it's know really, you, really good music.
Yeah,
right?
very good.
Their concerts are probably one of the best fascinating things you'll ever see. If you pull their website up, Trans-Siberian.
All right, that's a good tip.
All right, thank you.
Concerts, look.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, bye-bye.
That was okay.
I wouldn't say,
it was straddling. It was highly entertaining, but...
I'd say he's Kansas City.
Yeah.
Call had a lot of potential at the beginning.
Kansas City having a terrible year, but they are in the AFC. I think, yeah, we got to give that to because it was... Yeah. And who knows? Maybe somebody goes to the website, they actually check them out, and they enjoy...
Yeah.
My God, they buy a ticket, and they go to the concert and have a great time.
And for them, then, that caller, he's San Diego, then.
Don?
Yes, Don and Mike. Hello.
I just wanted to tell you that I saw you on the Cadillac show with Marty Bass.
Oh, yes. And the Emmy nominations are pouring in. Please stop calling me with that.
No, I just wanted to tell you how hot you are.
There you go. Now, here's somebody who's there. Where is she in the AFC? come on now. We haven't given out a big award yet.
Well, first of all, I think she's probably
blind. How you doing, Pittsburgh?
She's probably blind. Oh, no, she's not. Mike, just because some lady who doesn't have a good TV called to say I look good on TV. Honestly, you know what it is? She's Jacksonville.
Just to give us all a smile.
She's AFC, but she's Jacksonville.
She's right.
She's 6-6. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
I have to tell you, it's a terrible day outside, and my rain stops here. Don and Mike umbrella has not arrived yet. Can you fix that?
It's another Bill O'Reilly calling. Unfortunately, that plummets you into the
NFC. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I think as a tribute,
this is easy, isn't it?
Tribute to J Dubs. That's Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I got to tell you, I was talking to a buddy of mine who said, "You realize that there's that whole on any given Sunday thing."
Mm-hmm.
You realize that there's a chance that the Packers are going to lose to Detroit.
Well, of course there is.
Of course there's a chance, but I've given it such little thought that I'm going to lose this bet with J-Dubs. I've not even considered what it would be like to have the Lions logo tattooed on my left shoulder.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. I mean, well, that's what makes it interesting, but really your last bet with Dubs, which was Thanksgiving Day, was over, I think, 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah, something tells me it won't be quite as easy this weekend for Green Bay. But, boy, talk about having a rooting interest in a game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Thanks for allowing me on this 49er edition of the phone scan.
Okay, yeah, you're a, you know what you are? You're a guy who played for San Francisco and got hurt.
Hey, how about a happy birthday wish for Donny Osmond?
In the head. Is it Donny Osmond's birthday today?
Yes, it is.
How about you step off? Hello there.
Why don't you pour some sand into a rat hole?
Don and Mike Show. Hello, phone scan. This is the Don and Mike phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I'm a fan from way back. Any chance, and I don't want to say the names of the characters you played, because I don't know if it's an FCC problem.
Don and I have played thousands of characters over the years.
What?
Go ahead, sir.
The Al and Victor radio show. I don't put in the last names.
I think we could do that without the names.
Les Moss and
Pete Moss, Less Human. But
Pete
Moss,
Less Human.
It used to be Al.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And Victor.
No. No, we can't do that with the dirty names anymore.
But we can certainly do the guys.
You guys do a great job. Thanks for my hour commute ride in the car. You make it worthwhile.
All right, you take care of yourself.
We will see you, Tennessee. AFC.
Not going to put him in Tampa?
Wear your helmet.
No, I think Tampa, actually, I think Tampa's on the come in the AFC,
okay.
So that would
All
be
right.
better.
All right, very good.
I don't know. One more call? We got a break here. Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hey, buddies.
Hi there, you're on the air.
I just wanted to ask Mike if he's looked at his website recently, because on the dates of stuff coming up, on Christmas date, there's a certain My P word.
Yeah, okay.
Is that a prank or is that real?
What are we talking about?
We can't say that word on the show either.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Are you doing an off-color promotion of the Look Around Cafe?
It's a band that plays there regularly. And, they've got a controversial name.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well, I'll be protesting that.
They're very, please do.
I'll be out there with all my friends and our signs.
I love it when you pick it.
Hello. Mike loves it when I pick it. He always just says, don't eat it. Pick it, but don't eat it. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. Hello there.
Oh,
winner. Oh, joy. Last person. What can we do for you?
I had to get satellite TV after listening to you talking about watching all the football games. I love it.
Yeah, okay. That's just great.
Try to get out occasionally.
That is just great. And I know it's a new innovation that, DirecTV's only been around like 2 or 3 weeks.
Very excited.
I'm glad I was able to hit you to that.
Cutting out.
My friend, I'm trying to think of who's the worst team in the AFC. The Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
Although, no, he's not an AFC.
No, he's an NFC guy.
The NFC.
Got a dish.
You're the NFC. You're a winner. What's your name?
George.
George, where are you from?
Baltimore.
George? Oh, Baltimore. Well, you got to go a little south because you're representing our Washington Redskins.
George, that's a good pull, Mike. George, you've got the WWE Armageddon prize pack. Don't miss Armageddon live in pay-per-view on your home TV Sunday, December 12th. That's this weekend. Everybody call Comcast or Cox Cable to order. It's easy with your digital remote. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on. And that is the AFC-NFC edition of the phone scan.
Wonderful.
You'll notice there was no New England Patriots that called.
No, and I love categorizing them that way, and I think we can do it through the football season. It's easy, and it makes it much more, it makes the phone scan fly for me.
We just got to explain the concept to Buzz.
No, I understood. I said Sacramento to be funny. I understood the answer was either AFC or
so
NFC.
He's on board now. You really on board? Cleveland.
I don't know what leagues they're in, no. Conferences, whatever. No, but I understood the comedy concept you were going for.
Do you want to hazard do you know what AFC and NFC stand for?
American Football Conference and National Football Conference.
Yeah. So Don mentioned Cleveland. You want to throw a guess?
I don't know which
conference.
The conference they're in.
Right.
Yes. No, I AFC.
Okay.
See how easy that was?
How about sure. Just miles
50-50.
Away?
50-50.
Cleveland, Cincinnati.
AFC.
Right again.
He's on a roll.
Yeah. What about the Houston Texans?
That sounds NFC-ish.
Oh,
no.
There it goes south.
You were trying to trip him up there.
I was so tricky.
Trying to do it geographically.
You're funny. What about Seattle?
NFC. I don't know.
But
that's a tricky one because they
used to be in the AFC. However, they originally started as an NFC team the first year they came into the league. Then they were moved to the AFC.
And I still have trouble thinking of Seattle as an NFC team.
So do I. Arizona Cardinals.
NFC. You're very good.
Yes, okay. Now you're making it happen.
Well, it's 50-50. it's going to be one of the heads or tails, right?
All right, here we go. Here's the last one for you.
The Rhine Fire. Let me get back to you on that.
Okay. What about the St. Louis Cardinals?
NFC? No, not so much.
All right. They moved to Arizona.
Now what you're doing really is you're just spinning him around as fast as you can.
Not really.
I'd be disturbed. I'd be shaken if I thought it really mattered.
Oh, but Buzz, it does. You don't understand. It matters desperately, Buzz.
I guess football fans.
That's right. That's right.
For people just in that limited group.
And there's only a few of us in America.
That's what I hear.
It's a very small percentage.
God bless you.
I'm sure there's a much larger percentage of men who enjoy wearing petite-sized shirts.
More than you know.
I bet. Okay.
We're getting close to the holidays.
New England Patriots. That's an easy one.
NFC?
Oh, God. Oh, if I didn't know you were a hetero, I'd call you a fag.
I don't know. I don't care. But if I cared, I'd learn.
How about the New York Giants?
NFC?
Very good. New York Jets?
AFC?
There you go.
Is there a chance maybe you could maybe answer the questions without a question mark on the end of it?
No. San Diego Padres.
That's a baseball
Yay!
Team.
Yay!
MLB.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, in the American and
League
National League.
Yeah.
Come on, pick one.
National League.
Hey,
National
very League. Good.
Actually, I could probably do baseball.
Oh, you think so?
A much higher percentage of correct answers.
Cincinnati Reds.
American League. No?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Which league has the designated hitter?
American League.
Mm-hmm. Mm. St. Louis Cardinals.
I got a guess, but I'll say National.
Okay, he's right. He's right about that.
Yes, sir.
They thought I'd trick him up on that because the St. Louis Cardinals used to be the football Cardinals, then they moved.
Right. Cubs, National League. Mets, National League.
Okay, show off.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Red Sox, American League.
Yeah.
Thank that's you for right. that.
Yeah. Seattle Mariners.
I'm going to guess American League. I don't know.
You know, he's better at that.
He is better. He's doing a very nice job.
Calgary Flames.
No, that's the... No, they don't... They're,
would you like to guess what league they're in?
Yes, guess the league. Calgary Flames.
The NHL?
Yes.
Wow!
He's faking it.
I've thought that for years.
What about the Charlotte Bobcats?
Wow.
The Charlotte Bobcats.
Let me see if I can figure a sport.
Now we're in an area that I'm deaf.
Name the league, the Charlotte Bobcats.
The Bobcats. Man, yes. I never hear about
that. Can I
them.
Guess?
Yeah.
NBA?
Yeah, you got it.
That occurred
brand
to me,
new franchise. First year?
Yeah.
Well, there's my pass.
Yeah.
Transferred from Toronto?
I don't know.
NBA.
Their team moved to New Orleans. It's the New Orleans Hornets. Used to be the Charlotte Hornets.
Ah, Charlotte,
and
right.
The Bobcats are a brand new team.
Uh-huh. Don't the Bobcats have gold plate on their jerseys?
Yes, they do. We got a break. Buzz, what about the Washington Nationals?
The Washington Nationals.
Our brand new team, what league will they be in?
They would be, I don't know, because I haven't read a lot about that. I would say National League.
Yes.
Okay, all right, good.
Good job.
What about the Orioles, Baltimore Orioles?
They're American League.
Philadelphia Phillies.
National League.
And incidentally, when are we going to get our Washington Nationals jerseys? I mean, I'd like to tell their marketing department, It's never too early for the first time in 30-some-odd years that we've had a baseball team in D.C. Get them over here.
All they have now are just the old Senators hats with the big W's on them.
I like those. Is that going to be the regular hat?
I think that's going to be the hat.
I didn't mention this, but I'm actually jacked up about that. I'm kind of looking forward to it, especially at RFK. It's going to be fun to go down there and watch a game.
Buzz, what about the Houston Comets?
NBA?
No.
No?
Try again.
NHL?
Try again. Houston Comets.
Comets. I've never heard of the Comets.
The LBA. The LBA.
DC United.
The WNBA, of course.
Well, it's MLB. Major. Soccer. I'm sorry. Whatever. MLS.
Yes.
MLS.
Okay.
Major League Soccer.
There you go.
Thank you.
What does NCAA stand for?
National Collegiate Athletic Association.
Hey, he is smoking.
What about ESPN?
Entertainment Sports Programming Network?
Yes, I can't play through it because I'm rooting for you now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's no fair when I'm rooting for
he's
you.
Kicking butt.
Never mind. Yeah, he's doing okay. He's doing okay.
AMF. No, I'm sorry.
Adios.
Hey, have a routine.
Mother, father. Uh-huh. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here, I finally graduated.
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show. This you should not do. You should not call them Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right.
We're not Jacko.
No way.
And Buzz, you know, I mean, yes. You've got a thick skin.
Yes.
You've got the thick, chocolatey skin.
Yeah, my brain has the show on it.
You know, we're just kidding about the football thing.
Of course.
You know that, Buzz, if you win this weekend, you make the playoffs in fantasy football?
How about that?
That's better than some of us in this room.
Let's find out what Peter Bogdanovich knows about the AFC and the NFC.
Very good.
Uh-huh. He's on our phone right now. You know this dude. He was married to Sybil Shepherd.
Right.
He probably wouldn't put that as top on his resume.
No, absolutely not. He's a fantastic director. He directed great movies like Paper Moon. And most recently, I think a lot of people have seen him as Dr. Melfi's doctor
in
The Sopranos. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what the hell is he doing on our show?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we always wonder that.
Yesterday at this time, we had the guy that was the doctor that was singing songs about the vaginitis.
Mm-hmm.
And now here is Peter Bogdanovich. Pete.
Hi.
Hey, dude, what's happening?
What's happening there? You're in Washington, right?
We are in Washington, D.C., very rainy Washington, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Nice to be on the show. I like Washington. My associate comes from there.
Very good. And, you know, we love you. I mean, most recently, we were talking about all of your credits, your producing credits, your directing credits, but we love you on the Sopranos most recently.
Thank you.
You just do a great job on that.
Thank you. I love doing it.
That's great. And you really have done it all. I mean, you have done producing, acting, directing. I bet you're probably, would you agree that you're best known for your directing?
Well, not after The Sopranos.
Yeah, that's true.
But what about Paper Moon?
I was going to ask him about that.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie that you did.
Oh, thank you.
So ahead of its time and behind its time, that makes it black and white, not what you were...
And you read so much now with the books that have come out, and the one question I would have, when you were directing Ryan O'Neal and daughter Tatum O'Neal, was there any, you know, you've heard so many things. You've heard that maybe, I think she alleges that he had a problem with her success when she, wasn't she the youngest person to win the Oscar?
Like 8 or 9? Something
Did you sense, was there any kind of tension between them on the set when you were directing them, Peter?
Not really. It was, I mean, there was the normal tension that there would be sometimes because she was a kid and, you know, forgot her lines and it drove them crazy. But, you know, that would happen with almost any actor.
Have you kept in touch with Ryan O'Neal over the years?
Been in touch with both of them.
Oh, with both of them. What do you make?
When the book came out, I was a little bit in the middle.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you feel about being so prominently mentioned in her book?
Well, I came off all right.
No, I mean, you came out okay, but everybody's asking you about
there's so many different
career relationships there.
And there's so many different thoughts that people have about this book by Tatum O'Neal, and I would be curious as to, you know.
Well, Mike, I should mention that Peter has a book out. That's why he's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Who the Hell's in It? Portraits and Conversations.
How did you come up with that title?
Oh, you know, it's a catchphrase. People say, who the hell's in it? And that's why it doesn't have a question mark on the book, because it's sort of the answer. This is who the hell's in it. This is who the hell's in it. And, you know, it's John Wayne and Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart and Marlena Dietrich, Audrey Hepburn. But 25 different stars that I mostly knew in one way or another for varying lengths of time, like Cary Grant I knew for 25 years, you know, John Wayne I knew for about 15.
You know, you've been in the business for such a long time, but I think of you as a younger guy, and even with your character on The Sopranos, you know, you're a young-looking guy, I have to say that, and you...
I'll take it, thank you.
When I was looking over this stuff and see that you actually have... You've had conversations with all these old-time film actors, these great actors like John Wayne, especially James Cagney. Did you get a chance to spend a lot of time with James Cagney?
No, I didn't know him well at all. I spent a wonderful dinner at somebody's house, one dinner party where it was just a very small, about 5-6 people. That's the only time I spent with him, but it was like 3-4 hours. It was phenomenal.
I
write about what an extraordinary raconteur he was.
I noticed you were also in the movie Mr. Jealousy.
I was.
That's like on HBO that. All the time. Isn't that with Jim Belushi?
No.
No, who's in Eric, Mr. Jealousy? Who's in that? I'll know it immediately.
Eric Stoltz and Annabella Sciorri.
That's a long way from Jim Belushi. It's just my opinion. You know.
But Jim Belushi has a movie that's similarly titled...
Why do I just think, you know, Peter Bogdanovich and Jim Belushi? You two haven't worked together, have you?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Haven't had the pleasure?
Thank you, Robbie. It's Mr. Destiny. That's the one.
Destiny, yeah.
You ever seen Mr. Destiny with Jim Belushi?
I saw that one.
Check it out.
That's a good movie.
Never had the opportunity?
Saw it.
All right, then I'll ask you about something else that I'm sure you did. At Long Last Love. This is a movie. No, hold on. This is a movie that I remember when it came out. That this is was this the follow up to? Give me the story behind At Long Last Love, Mike. Here's my point.
What?
I saw this movie.
Yes,
and it's a movie that, as I recall, back in the day, it got kind of trashed by the critics.
It was trashed is the word.
I loved it.
I'm telling you, I love
it. You were the one.
I loved the movie. I loved it. It was weird.
But it has a kind of cult following now.
It was weird with good character development, and you never knew what these crazy people were going to do. And the reason I brought that up is I like that movie, and I'm the only person I know that likes that movie. And and I don't mean that as a put-down, because it's a movie that you made. How do you feel when you have a movie that's out that doesn't get great universal reaction? Do you go into a room and pound your head against the wall and say, I stink? Or do you wait for years later when a schmuck like me on a radio show says, hey, remember that movie you did that got dang off? I like it. How do you deal with that?
Oh, it was not easy. That was Sybil and I referred to that as the debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, part of that was my fault because the version that was released was not the best version, and that was my own fault for allowing them to put it out as quickly as they did.
Mm. Well, I loved it.
I recut it subsequently, and the version that's occasionally seen on television is a much better version.
Huh? Well, that's the version I've seen.
Well, then that's not a bad movie.
Who do you like? Don't give me a name like Steven Spielberg or somebody that everybody would give. Who's a director you like right now besides yourself? Who you consider really talented, really getting it done right now?
Well, there's a kid I like very much named Wes Anderson. Do you know Wes?
I think I've heard the name.
Did the Royal Tenenbaums. And
okay.
Did Rushmore, and he's got a new film opening, I think, tomorrow, The Life Aquatic with Bill Murray.
Oh, that's the one about him going after the whale.
Actually a shark.
Yeah, okay. You know, right. Well, as you can tell, I'm a little fuzzy on the details,
well,
it's in the
water.
Yeah, I'm there with you most. You know, when you watch actors that are doing press for a film, you hear them talk about a director, and just like they talk about their fellow actors, rarely do you hear negative things said. But I think it's kind of a cliche question to ask. When you're working with actors, what is the most important quality when you're a director to get that? To get the most out of him. I mean, are you a disciplinarian, or do you have to?
Well, everybody has their own way of working, but I'm not a disciplinarian. I'm a collaborator. In other words, I always tell the actors, usually the first day of rehearsals, if we have rehearsals, which we always do have at least a day or two, I tell them, listen, don't think of me as a director. Think of me as an actor who just doesn't happen to have a part in this show.
Okay.
And I'm here to help you find the best performance.
Do you,
that's how I work with the actors.
Do you wear baseball hats a lot?
Huh?
Do you wear
no, never.
Oh, okay, because that's now the thing. I see that with, you know, it started by Spielberg, but they all do it now.
Well, I think really when you... Well, where do you line up on
the... I don't wear hats unless it's cold.
Right. Okay, all right, so that's where you line up on the baseball hat issue. Of all the people that are in your book, do you have any particular individual, a larger-than-life individual, somebody that made such an impression on you that you would put them at the top of the list?
Well, I was closest to Cary Grant.
That's cool. Wow.
And he was very kind to me over the years. I knew him for 25 years.
Did you write anything bad about anybody?
No, as a matter of
fact. Oh, you didn't? Oh, that's
I
too
don't
bad.
Really. I didn't, you know, I reveal some things that maybe they wouldn't want revealed, like...
Oh, like what?
Like that Jimmy Stewart had a couple of affairs while he was married, but...
Yeah! It is a wonderful life.
Yeah, we can pump our fists up into the air like
now,
that.
Now, he had an affair with Grace Kelly and one with Kim Novak. But
way to go, Jimmy!
Was Jimmy
Big Jim?
He had a great line, you know, when they asked him. They said, "What does it feel like being married and kissing Grace Kelly?" He said, "Well, I'm married, but I'm not dead."
That's his.
That's his line.
Wow. You know, was he as funny? I mean, I like Jimmy Stewart when you see old clips from The Tonight Show when he was on with Johnny Carson.
God, he was funnier in life.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine he just had to be hysterical.
He was, you know, he was funny. He's funny. You should mention that because I've talked about that and I've talked about it in the book. He was funny on The Tonight Show. He was funny with Johnny, but
phenomenal.
In his living room, he was the funniest of all because, you know, you always have to talk a little quicker on radio and television
right.
than you do in life. And he was at his funniest when he took forever.
Oh, that is fantastic. When he would read poetry on Johnny Carson, I think that is probably some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Oh, and how are you doing with Sybil Shepherd, personally?
Well, we're friends.
You're friends?
But we, by the way, we weren't married, although we could have been. We lived together for 9 years.
Ah.
that was at a time when one didn't do those sort of things.
Right, Peter. Why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I had been married, and I wasn't crazy about this.
Right, sure.
The cow. Yeah, I wanted to ask you a Sopranos question. As far as one of the, being the fans of the Sopranos, and I know Don's, you know, was the first one to hip us to that and say, you got to watch this show when it first came on. One of our greatest frustrations with all of their fans is that production schedule, that we wait so long to get episodes of the Sopranos out. Can you address that? And why does it take so much longer than some of the other shows that are on both like HBO and regular television?
Well, all I can say is David Chase, who's the creator of the show and is very hands-on for the writing and even the directing. He just did it's a very, very stressful job, and he, like this last season, he just said he needed 9 months off.
Okay, well, that's an easy answer right there.
He just took the time off, and so they haven't started, they're just starting to write now, and they'll start shooting again in April.
Do you have any idea as an actor, I know you do as a director, and you direct great actors, but what does it feel like when you're on The Sopranos, and you were on some of the most gripping episodes with Dr. Melfi, where she would confide things to you that she would not say to anybody else. Did you find when you would walk down the street after one of those episodes aired, that people would come up to you and say, how come you didn't tell her to tell Tony, or how come you didn't tell her to do this or do that? Did you get that kind of response from your role on The Sopranos?
No, I get all sorts of responses, but I never did get that one. People ask me if I have time for them in my schedule and things like that, and some teenagers, boys came up and they were just so thrilled to meet somebody from The Sopranos. I don't think they even knew my name. You're the doctor. But usually they're very warm reactions and always warm reactions.
As an actor, are you tough to direct?
No, because when I'm acting, I don't think about directing at all. It's a pleasure not to think about directing.
Okay, yeah.
Will you be eating at Spago's tonight?
I'm in New York.
He's in New York. So.
Oh, well.
And Spago, what's the new... Well, we don't know the new trendy place.
No, I don't know. Oh, I know what it is. Vivian's.
Vivian's, yes.
Have you ever thought about casting in a movie TV's Leah Remini, who's the star of King of Queens on CBS?
Well, he's good.
Yes, he's outstanding.
He's great. Fantastic. We couldn't agree more.
He's the best.
So is that where you live most of the time, Peter, in New York City?
Yeah, I moved back to New York in 97, mainly because it's my hometown and I wanted to come home.
Okay.
I think this guy, Leah Remini, he's the Orson Welles of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I know you're a big Orson Welles fan.
Well, yes, I am.
And you, Orson's in the book.
I was good friends with Orson.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. And was he another? Now that's another individual that I would imagine that in private would be hysterically funny. Would be a truly funny guy.
He was, in fact, very funny. You're right. And most people wouldn't say that about him, but he was. He was very funny.
We have an old piece of tape that we play often on this show with Orson Welles. I think he's doing
a commercial for frozen lima beans or something.
Frozen peas. That is probably one of my favorite pieces of tape we play on this show.
He was very annoyed about that.
We know you're pressed for time. We're late. Thank you. Your book is called Who the Hell's in It? Portraits and Conversations. Peter Bogdanovich. Peter, can you answer just one simple question for us? The Jacksonville Jaguars, are they in the AFC or the NFC of football?
You got me.
See, Buzz, you're not alone. We're giving our newsman a hard time. And
Buzz, we got a guy here named Buzz. Buzz, say hi to Mr. Bogdanovich.
Hello, Mr. Bogdanovich. I admire your work.
He didn't know anything about football.
Well, I don't either. I directed a football movie, and I had to ask questions about stupid things like, would you throw the ball here or what?
That's why I salute you. It's just not important in the overall scheme of things, is it, Peter?
I think it is important, but I just, I'm just not into it. I've never been into football.
Right, good for you.
Well, listen, it was
baseball more.
You like baseball more?
I couldn't give you any answers about, I'm not good at the fact.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we will be seeing you on future episodes of The Sopranos.
So they tell me, you never know, but I asked David, I spoke to him about a week ago, I said, am I back? He said, yeah.
Very good.
I hope he's got some problems, so obviously I'll be back.
Good.
All right, outstanding. Peter Bogdanovich, thank you for coming down into the radio slum known as our show.
Oh, cut it out. You guys are great.
No, we're not. We stink. Thank you.
Washington.
Thank you.
Good luck with the book, Peter.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, dude. You know, it's now I think okay. I'm going to give you three examples. Okay, I'm going to throw out names. You tell me AFC, NFC.
Okay,
Alan Parsons.
AFC. I know lower tier AFC.
Okay, Frank Sinatra Jr.
You gotta go NFC.
Peter Bogdanovich might have crept into the NFC, but or just
hold on. Let me reevaluate all three guests.
Okay, all right.
Alan Parsons. Well, see, I'm a fan of his music,
yeah.
And I know that he's not, and also Peter Bogdanovich not used to being interviewed behind the scenes.
Yes, this is true.
Mike,
are they all NFC?
Who are we kidding? Yes,
they're all
and they're all in the NFC.
I'll give you one more.
They're all in the NFC South, as a matter of fact.
Dr. Maish Seibel.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Yeah. As far as guests we've had on the show this week.
Sure, yeah, because he sang vaginitis.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Very good. That's what it takes.
That's Peter Bogdanovich. The book should be called What the Hell Are We Gonna Ask This Guy?
I thought it was good.
I know he's got the black and white movie that I dug, Paper Moon.
And of course, The Last Picture Show, which is really what put him on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was good, and he's pleasant, and that's just the way he is.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's just like we were talking
about
psychiatry.
Well, I think what Don and I are saying, Rob, is we're ready for a hyperactive guest.
I'll call Dr. Capers in the break.
Get Garrett Top on the phone.
And who knew that Jim Belushi was not in Mr. Jealousy? That movie is on HBO all the time.
You didn't ask him about the cat's whisker or whatever that movie he made. Is
oh, the movie about the date. Who's
the Hearst yacht?
The Hearst murders. That's another thing that's on HBO all
it's
the time.
It's on HBO.
Or the Hearst murder, I should say, not murder.
And you and I shared our love for that great film before the program today. The Cat's Meow, that's what it's called.
Yeah, sometimes when we get done with an interview like that, you picture the guy putting the phone in the cradle and just going,
whatever.
No, I disagree.
Craig the Big W.
But I've seen that guy interview. He's that way with everybody.
I wish I would have read this.
What?
He was on 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. Now
there
we would have had some common ground.
Yeah.
It was an Eyes Wide Shut.
Finally,
wasn't?
We would have. I don't see it here.
No, that was Sidney Pollack.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right. Thank
now,
you.
Now, him I could have talked to all day.
Oh, I'd love to get Sidney Pollack on the show.
Yeah.
Are you calling Sidney Pollack?
No, I'm calling.
Hi,
hey, Sidney Pollack.
Is that who you want on?
Yeah.
Is he writing a book anytime soon?
Can you get him during the commercial set?
Is he NFC or AFC?
Oh, he's AFC.
Yeah, he's AFC right now.
Until we get him on the show.
Yeah.
Then he could be NFC.
They don't get booked unless
oh,
they're
I'll get
AFC.
Him and you'll still freaking complain.
No. Oh,
wow.
Hey, that was a very NFC comment of you.
But I'm in the AFC. I'm in fantasy football.
Okay, in fantasy football. But how about in the game of life? Darling, you are on the AFC, but watch it. It's a perilous balance there. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, pork chop.
The Wichita pork chops.
Hallelujah.
They'd be in the Arena League.
Whoa.
What?
That's funny.
We've got a break.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you know, we should have broken like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was looking at the clock and I actually got confused.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Really want to test him out? Why don't you try the old Jerry Lewis trick?
Jerry Lewis?
I heard when Jerry Lewis left a meeting, he'd purposely leave a briefcase with a tape recorder in it. Then after 5 minutes, he'd come back for it, listen to what everyone said about him.
That's pretty paranoid.
Yes, it is.
I like it.
The Don and Mike Show. A couple of biggins.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker. For everything that is this show, donandmikewebsite.com.
Yeah, go to the store.
Daily log, audio highlights. I don't think it'll be Peter Bogdanovich today with the audio highlights.
Yeah, probably not.
I kid because I love.
Yes, he was an interesting man.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Rich is brought to us by Tower Records of Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower.
Nobody.
Yeah. Peter Bogdanovich, he's a weird dude. You know, if I had had a chance to redo that interview, I'd probably ask him about Cybill Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was the whole big thing, right? That he
they were most famous, and it was like back in the day when, you know, you didn't shack up with somebody, I believe.
And he had her when
she was very, very young.
Yeah, he had her before she was all road beaten.
Yeah, I don't know when he first started going out or they started living together, but wasn't she like 19, 18, 19 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah,
maybe even younger.
She was just a cover girl is all she was. She was doing covers of magazines, and he said, I can turn her into an actress.
Yeah, she was dead. She was like right off the floorroom floor room show.
Yeah, that's
true.
$5 belt.
By the time she got... You stop them with that.
What is it?
That's... You know, that...
$5 belts?
Yeah.
All right, is that
right
a
on the showroom floor?
He's doing something here. I can't even explain why.
No,
that's
just
funny.
Move on.
All right.
I can't
secret method.
Evil. And what is the deal with your hair today?
I have no idea.
What are you doing? What
today
you...
I tried gel. Do you hate it? Do you love it? Am I
handsome? Why don't you put gel in it and then blow dry it, and then it won't be all spiky?
You see, Rob is still cutting his hair, cutting his hair, because Mike is paying him $50 a week through the holidays.
And
not
it's
to
days
cut
like this that I believe in, it's worth every
not to,
single nickel.
Not to cut his hair.
I think it looks great.
I have to bring a big check in for Rob next week.
Yes,
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And I'll need two forms of ID with
him. Anyway, Arnold. Hold on. Where's my Arnold?
I say to everyone here today and to all Californians, my oath and you.
Thank you. Here's what he did yesterday. He's in Long Beach, and he's at a conference celebrating women's contributions to the state of California.
Sure. He's the right man for that job.
Yeah. Now, there are a bunch of nurses who have come out to protest Arnold being there because he wants to cut health plans and stuff to balance the budget. Okay, he's here to talk about empowering women. The fact is, he's gutting the nursing profession. That's their opinion.
Why don't you go back down to your houses and things and go to make your dinner for your husbands?
Here's what he has to say on the way out. Because the nurses are screaming as he's this on CNN.
Protesting.
As he's leaving, there's like 100 nurses there, and they've all got the signs. They're protesting.
Yeah.
He says, and Mike, feel free to help me out here.
Okay.
Pay no attention to those voices over there.
Pay no attention to the voices over there.
They're the special interests.
They're the special interests.
Special interests don't like me.
Special interests don't like me.
In Sacramento.
In Sacramento?
Because I kicked their butt.
Because I kicked their butt.
Ooh. Then he laughs. And he says, I love them anyway.
I love them anyway.
Sure.
That's it. Work hard. Make sure your eyes are on the prize, and you know, and the thing, and get the people that will amend the Constitution. So the thing is that you could be president.
Okay. That's tomorrow, right? Yeah, we got that lady on the show tomorrow.
Oh, good, sir.
Ocean's 12 opens tomorrow.
Ooh, exciting!
Catherine Beta-Jones, I love that joke, Rob. is going to be in that movie. She has claimed because they're all doing press now. I even saw Clooney and Matt Damon on Sports Center sitting in the Budweiser hot seat today.
They're all doing press except for Julia Roberts, who had the babies. Yeah.
So, Catherine Zeta-Jones says that she waited 9 months with Michael Douglas before he got to go all the way.
Really?
That's the type of girl she is.
I thought he was a sex addict.
And listen to this quote from
Must
her.
Must have been tough for him.
Wow. This is so fake showbiz, BS, woman, crap, junk, lies.
I can't wait to hear it. But you be the judge.
I waited 9 months because I wanted to know who Michael Douglas was. It was wonderful. Like a sexual dance, making us want each other all the more. Yeah, shut up. But there is one good thing. She added that she loves walking around naked.
Oh Lord.
So,
might have been worth the wait.
Listen,
if it took 9 months,
yeah.
If it took 2 years, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Well, yeah. 2 years.
That's just such a girl thing
to
say. I mean, you're talking to, you know.
How long would you wait for Catherine Zeta-Jones?
What time is it now? I give it till the end of the show.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Okay, done.
No, Mike, maybe it's because I've had a unique week with my child bride. And I promised her I wouldn't talk about it, and
right,
I'm not, because everything's fine. But here's the thing. Catherine Zeta-Jones, no matter who it is, no matter how beautiful any woman is.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to take this to the sexual level where you're going to say there's some guy that's sick of going to bed with her.
Okay.
I'm just saying, no matter how beautiful or wonderful any woman is, there's some guy out there
who hates her guts. There's some guy out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure Catherine Zeta-Jones is happy with Douglas.
But that theory doesn't necessarily, that doesn't match up with the Catherine. You're talking about, you ask Catherine Zeta-Jones out on a date. You're Michael Douglas. You know, you're not going to get everything, obviously.
Well, I don't believe
how
that.
I don't necessarily believe it.
Michael Douglas probably waited till the dessert showed up.
I believe there's also research that you could do that might put them in certain places together during that time
and
period
also,
where they may have spent the night. Yeah. So, you know,
Consider this.
Maybe they did everything but.
Yeah, I was going to say, almost like Clinton, you know, it depends what it is.
Exactly.
Know? I mean, who's to say that she wasn't walking around naked and,
oh my God.
You know, they did everything but.
And maybe he couldn't. He's not getting any younger.
Well, back then, though. Well, how old was he when he first started going out with her?
Well, they've only been together like 2 or 3 years, right?
Oh, he was in his upper 50s.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
God, I admire him.
It's just such a goddamn phony, fake woman thing, you know. That whole, you know, we danced so sexual. Now you know what it is. It's like three men. Watch the National Geographic Channel sometime.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really is what it is.
That's what it is.
I mean, the older I get, the more I realize you can dress it up
and you can put it in a 4-post canopy bed all you like. But watch National Geographic.
That's what it is.
Watch a couple of donkeys and you'll see what I'm talking about.
And I think when you put it down to that basic level, women all over America should give their men credit. They really should. Because, you know, the fact is, we are what they show on National Geographic.
We really are. When you get it right down to that, we got bigger brains.
Slightly. Well, some of us. I was not putting you down, putting myself down there.
Right.
But just consider this. You're taming a beast. When you're with a man, you're taming a beast.
Yeah, just like you would train a horse not to throw its rider, you train a man to, you know, to stay close by.
What was that movie with Cheech and Chong's daughter? Oh, Quest for Fire.
She goes down to the water to drink. Because really, if
that's romance.
Yes. If we weren't trained,
yes,
civilized.
Oh, is that romance, huh?
You know what?
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't that be something?
Let's see if Catherine Zeta-Jones could last 9 months in Quest for Fire, huh? Let's see that, huh? Before Michael Douglas is grabbing her by her hair and pulling her up,
pulling her into his cave,
big rock encrusted thing.
Did you ever wonder in Quest for Fire if it really happened like that in those days?
Oh, of course it did.
I'm sure.
Guys were so much less sophisticated back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me want you. You know, come here. Well, it would have been a great time to be alive. If only they had electricity.
But electricity and the spoken word.
The older I get, the more I find that, at least in my personal life,
yes,
I would have no problem being a mute.
Spoken word overrated in life?
Yeah, highly overrated.
Yeah, you're having a weaker.
Yeah, I am.
You're talking about how great it would have been back in Quest for Fire times, but you know, there had to be an occasional mistake. Like if J-Dubs was living back then.
Excuse me, sir. I think I know what you're talking about, Rob.
I beg your pardon.
That is highly disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, Donald Trump has the apprentice. Now, listen to what this guy did. For being a billionaire, he marries, or he's engaged to Melania. Is that her name?
Melania?
Melania. He gets her a ring.
Melanoma.
He gets her an engagement ring, and then he gets her a wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
And he trades it out. He goes to the jewelry store, and incidentally, it's $1.5 million for one of the rings.
I'm getting really fed
up. Hold on, Mike. Hold on, because there's more. $1.5 million for one ring, $2 million for another ring. He goes to the jewelry company, and he says, I'm going to have her wear this on The Apprentice, and she's going to wear this in her fashion shoots, so she gets the rings for free.
Wow.
Now, let's talk about DTJ.
Okay.
You know who DTJ is?
No.
Little talked about Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, son of Ivana?
One of his wives.
All right.
Anyway, he also is getting engaged. He called his dad and said, how can I handle this? The dad, the Donald, says, well, you certainly can't do it along the grandiose lines that I did.
No.
However, let me make a phone call for you. So, Donald Trump calls Bailey, Banks, and Biddle. And the deal that Donald Jr. got was a $100,000 ring for free because Dad, Donald Trump Sr., invited the paparazzi down so that they could see Donald Trump Jr. getting engaged at Bailey Banks and Biddle, mm-hmm. and that's why they gave him, because I'm sailing freaking Bailey Banks and Biddle because I'm an idiot, so they got their 100 grand worth of advertising.
You know, it's really annoying. I mean, these are people that have more money than Jesus anyway.
I know.
And they're doing this. I mean, it's fun, but I suppose, I don't know.
And
but
there's,
I mean, if you do it like Star Jones, where you open the whole wedding up to it, but...
Jones. Let me see. Melissa and Joan Rivers have moved from E! Exclamation point to the TV Guide channel.
Right, okay.
So they won't be on the red carpet for the Golden Globes. The E! Exclamation channel has replaced them with Star Jones.
Uh-huh.
Is that a mistake or is that a mistake?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because she really is the person to comment on who looks good.
What if she'd been in Quest for Fire?
Hold on a second. Missy Elliott. Who doesn't like Misdemeanor Elliott? I love Missy Elliott. I read this in Vibe magazine. When she goes to parties, she always has a man behind her carrying a box.
Okay. Huh.
Now, it's not what you think, the buzz, dirty.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It is a real lock box. What is in the lock block?
It is a lock box.
It's her bling box.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to keep extra diamonds and jewels in case she wants to bling up or bling down. She's got a deal, too. Just like Donald Trump does.
Unbelievable.
She's got a deal, too. And why is it that celebrities go so crazy? I was watching something with Matthew Broderick, Killer Manslaughter, and they were talking about him being at some Tony Awards, Broadway, the producer or something, and he was ecstatic that they had given him one of the new mini iPods.
Yeah.
He was doing an interview, and he actually pulled it out of his pocket and said, I can't believe they gave it, you know, Matthew Broderick could go buy the Apple computer company if he wanted to.
Right.
You know, I'm down with getting free stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you are a millionaire and you are Matthew freaking Broderick, don't throw it in my face, dude.
Yeah.
That you got a.
So you think he's faking it, too?
Yeah, of course
he's right up there with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, you bet. We got just time for feel goods.
Oh, good.
If that's Billy Bush, you got to tell him. Dude, buy a watch. Here's the deal with the feel goods. I have two for you today, and they both kind of work together almost as a sandwich.
Oh, nice.
So please bear with me. Feel good number one. Two accused of handcuffing and force feeding an 81-year-old woman. But hold on.
Feel good right there.
Stay with it.
Bear
with
me. Feel good.
The husband of an 81-year-old woman was arrested on charges of elder abuse. According to police, the husband, Charlie, age 64, and another man, Humberto, age 35, found a woman handcuffed to her coffee table when her husband left the house, and they would force feed her. Okay?
Wait a minute. Now, you're confusing me. You said they found her handcuffed?
Yeah, the cops did.
The cops found her.
This guy, every day...
Humberto, and the 65-year-old, the younger guy?
Yeah, the younger guy was the helper to the husband.
Ah. Okay.
The husband would handcuff his wife to a chair every day.
That's how the police discovered her?
And he force-fed her.
Yes.
They would force-feed her and not allow her to leave because the husband feared that she was too skinny.
Okay.
So his answer was, we will simply take my wife, we will handcuff her to a chair, we will feed her full of junk food, we will leave her for 7 or 8 hours in a crack, we'll come back and we'll fill her up again.
Wow.
Okay. That's feel good number one.
Is she like out of it? Is that why they were able to do that?
No, he just thought she was too skinny.
Well, that's disturbing.
Then on the other side...
I mean, it feels good.
On the other side, you have the family that's charged with starving a woman to death.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, see, I told you it's like a crazy feel-good sandwich.
Yeah.
This is from Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's, it's a real feel-good. She was, like Tom.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So anyway, Paul and Debbie McMahon, they're being held on $1 million bond they were mad because this woman who was not
right,
weighed 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was a big hassle to get her in and out of her chair and everything. And not to mention the fact she was retarded and she wouldn't really help a lot.
Right.
So what they did was they strapped her to a chair every day. And didn't let her eat.
And she passed away.
Yeah, she died. However, it's better than Atkins.
because the last time people saw her alive,
uh-huh.
a month ago, she weighed 250. When the cops found her, uh-huh. it was the smell, 50 pounds.
50 pounds.
50 pounds.
Well, that's a feel-good, may they rot in hell feel-good.
So, but hold on, see, no, you got to get, it's the two sides of the feel-good.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, right.
It's a feel-good.
They're either feeding or not feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
But both of them involve strapping
somebody down, yes. Yes, restraining them.
Both of these tragedies could have been avoided if they'd just been on wife swap.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Anyway, listen, I'm sorry that you don't, Robbie, that's not happening. Although I don't think that music is really going to help Mike's attitude, but let's see. Nope.
Hold on.
It ain't there. Hold on a second. There it is.
Now that makes it work.
Feel better now, Mike?
Absolutely.
Here you go. You see, one guy strapped his wife and didn't let her.
It's the contract.
The other guy strapped, well, it wasn't his wife, but one guy fed the other
you
guy.
You see how he did that?
I do.
There you go. I get jokes.
Okay. Right.
Stop looking at me.
Stop looking at me.
Yeah, I didn't
look
read
at
it.
Him. I mean, I knew you didn't read it. I read it. I looked. Are you looking at me like I'm nuts? Like it's something out of the ordinary on this show. Come on, it's a feel good.
It's a feel good.
One guy strapped.
I know. Stop it.
Okay, we'll be back with the Friday favorite.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and. We're all in misery.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
And now, because someone has to be the dumbass, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And, listen, express yourself. Thank you, Charles. Don and Mike Show in Superior, Wisconsin. On WGEE. Concord, New Hampshire. WKXL. I forgot that for you. Baltimore, Live 105.7, Iowa City, Iowa, AM Stereo, KCJJ, AM Stereo.
Coming thing.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
You are in the Christmas spirit. You say AM Stereo.
That's what the slug says, Robbie.
AM Stereo.
Let's see, when's the last time I worked? When I worked at WLS in Chicago, which is now... Jesus, 26 years ago?
Wow.
That's when they were convinced AM stereo...
Yeah, the next best thing.
...was going to save AM.
But Matty can't hear it under a bridge.
Right. And now that's why we're on AM now. Because everything else failed.
Yes, amen.
So now we're the kings of AM radio.
Or I should say AM.
And the other good thing is that we're also in FM mono.
Yeah.
In this station, so the signal goes further.
Isn't that cool?
All right, that's why they do that, right? You understand.
That is...
Bacardi Limon.
Most excellent.
You understand. DonandMikeWebsite.com, that's the official site for the show. Go there often. A Thursday favorite that we do on Friday.
A Friday favorite that we do on Thursday.
Right. I know what I meant.
Other way around.
I'm a mess today.
All right.
I promised her I wouldn't talk about it. So I'm not.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you. And
so everything's cool now.
Yeah.
Sorry. I shouldn't blame that on my wife. I should not blame that on my wife. She's not the reason I got 2 hours of sleep last night. Come on in, Sam. Come here. Now. Here we go. Santa, hi, Santa.
Hi, how are you? It's good to be here. Okay, I got something special for you.
What, Santa?
I've been listening to what you wanted. Open it up. There it is.
Okay, what is it?
Go ahead.
How did you know I wanted a machete?
A machete.
A machete. What is that, machete?
From
See,
Santa.
I am just such a mess today.
From Santa.
Santa?
Hey, Polar Express sucks.
You look thin.
How are you anyway?
You look thin.
Well, you know, I've been juicing it pretty good. I don't know why I tell you. Can we can the music for a second?
You're Santa Claus. Listen, I'm not even going to mention the fact
that... Where the hell are my bells?
You're not... Okay, all right.
Hit by a taxi. I was hit by a taxi. No, here's the deal.
Huh? Yeah?
At this particular time, you told me specifically...
Yes, Santa?
That I wasn't supposed to come until next week.
No.
So I came in and they said, no, you got to be here today. I said, next week. And I thought it was a Friday.
Look,
I always show up on a Friday.
We moved this bit just during football season.
Oh, my head.
You know, you're not wearing the suit.
Yeah. I'm not wearing the suit because I'm not contracted to wear the suit on your show until this following week. Not this particular week. So what they did was they called me late this afternoon, as far as I was concerned. They called me after your show started.
Our show starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
They'd eaten in today, and I said, I'm already in the throes of jolly time, if you know. That's what I call it right now. What I had to do is I had to zip down here from the North Pole. I left Mrs. Claus handcuffed to the table. We've had to force feed her.
Oh, dear.
And I was very, very frustrated with the entire thing, and on the way down, as I often want to do when I travel, I had some schnapps. Santa schnapps, which is good. And,
Santa.
You know, can you give this massager to Fez for me? That's his.
Oh, you got
his, yes.
You got that for
one.
Fez Wadley?
The little one. The two little guys.
Yeah.
You'll know what to do with it. Anyway, how you been anyway?
What's the deal? You don't have the big flowing beard.
Don't have the big flowing beard. What I've got is what we would call in down here outside of the North Pole is stubble.
How are you
the real? I'm the real guy.
How are you?
That's what you have to tell everybody, that I'm the real guy. And even though I've had a few cocktails this afternoon, I am the original man himself, Christopher Kringle, Santa Claus, Cinder Claus, Saint Nikolai, whatever the hell you want to call. I'm it, baby, the real deal. No mistake about that garbage you see in shopping malls all over the place.
Yeah.
And incidentally, I have to give the disclaimer, if there are little kiddies in the car right now, Santa's going to say something that might traumatize them.
Oh,
so
no.
Please turn the radio down, okay? 1-1000, 2-1000. Good, turn down. Those department store Santas are crap.
Come on.
If I do say so myself, and I really think they get worse and worse every year. You get some guy that has, you know, some peroxide and decides that he's going to be a bum for a year, and he gets to roll into a ball on this time of year and steal my thunder. I'm telling them all, you're imitating me. Step it up. Step it up, you bastards.
What are you going to do for a beard?
Don't you understand?
Yeah, no.
Don Geronimo.
No, I don't.
Don't you understand?
You don't have the big white beard.
After all of these years that Santa's magic works in mysterious ways.
Hold on, Santa.
Don't you understand that Santa could grow a beard right now if I chose to?
No,
but I
couldn't.
Choose to be comfortable, and that's why
you.
I have Santa beard stubble and a red Sean John jogging suit. That's what I'm wearing right now, okay? I really do. You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
You're not going to like it.
Well, tell me.
You're not going to like it at all.
Tell me, Santa.
I wear a fake.
Fake beard?
I wear what you might call a facial merkin.
Oh, my.
And that's what I wear each and every year. Quite honestly, several years ago, the beard started falling out.
Uh-huh. Falling out?
I have alopecia.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but it's true. So I have to wear it. Now, it's not the kind that you put on with a rubber band. Not that bad. But what it is I commissioned one of the top Hollywood people to come out and, on the big night, put the beard on for me.
But on, so it's fake.
What you see is what you get. Someone said I look like that man that lost the election in Ukraine.
Oh, dear.
But I'll tell you.
Before or after he was poisoned.
Just call me Raspberry Face. It's painful, but I'm okay. Listen, is there a chance we could, Santa could just take a little sip of this before we proceed?
Yes, sure, Santa.
Oh.
That's good. Now, was that Stoli? What is that?
Absolute.
Absolute.
Oh, baby. Oh, great to be with you. I don't have to talk to the brats this year, do I?
Not today, though.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, man.
No, I'm excited, though. The beard will look great on Christmas Eve. It's a great guy I got. He did the Thriller video. So I'm very excited about the way it's going to look.
Isn't it true that Mrs. Claus is really here, beard?
Now, you know that's not true. I'd like to address the
Santa, don't you?
I may.
Don't you swing both ways?
Well, Santa's omnisexual.
Ah.
That's the way I like to look at it, as far as I'm concerned.
Don't you swing three ways?
Well, yes.
Men? women.
And reindeer.
And reindeer.
You're right about that. Yes, you got it. But the thing is, I don't like to make those things public, Mr. Geronimo. Now, I gave you a very nice custom-handled machete to do with what you wish.
I said machete.
Machete.
Thanks for the machete. I knew you meant a big knife.
It's been a rough year. Mrs. Claus has the diabetes now.
Oh, she does.
Yes, you know, she just didn't manage her weight, and I've got needs, and so I've got to do different things to keep myself occupied all year round. But I'd like to address what they're perpetrating on the American public, the Polar Express. Just not good.
Tom Hanks movie?
Not good, wrong on so many levels. Right. And I hate it when they're wrong, wrong, wrong. I don't know what acid was taken by the person that created that, but damn it, I'm tired of being misrepresented, well, like all the elves wearing red.
Show me.
What the hell is that about?
Show me some Santa magic.
Santa magic.
Can't you, like, do something now and like, get a Tom Hanks voodoo doll and give him an awful back pain or something?
Santa can't do that kind of magic. Santa can only do what he does, which is visit everybody, and it's a miracle, and I'll tell you, one of these days, would you like a ride along? Would you like to ride along?
I've been on a ride along with cops before. I'd love that with you.
And I don't like these Christmas movies where people perpetrate their own idea of what Christmas is and Santa and the North Pole when they don't even know where the North Pole is. I know the real story of what the North Pole is.
What is it?
It's Bangladesh.
No.
That's where all of the stuff is manufactured. We can't do the thing up at the North Pole. Shipping alone.
Are you still working? Are you still working with Kathy Lee Gifford's kids?
Not a chance. No, we moved out of that. They were all moved to a soccer ball factory over in New Delhi. I've got the best workers in Bangladesh. 3 cents an hour.
Wow.
No lunch break, no dinner break.
So generous.
They have a small meal at midnight, 3 hours of sleep, and then back to the factory. I'm so happy. I couldn't be happier right now. But enough of that. As far as Tom Hanks, why does he need all the roles? Why did he play me? I want to play me. I don't want Tom Hanks playing me. I'll tell you right now, the sled in Express, as I like to call it, is all wrong. I got spinners. That's what I got on my sled.
Wow.
Absolutely. Same I got thing? All the stuff, man. I tell you, it's I'm down with it, homie.
Pleased to be commenting on your relationship with Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan's a good girl. All that story stuff that you hear about her with narcotics, not true.
No, I'm not talking about her at a party. I'm talking about her with you.
She's always liked Santa. And if Santa wants occasionally to take advantage of that, that's A-okay with me.
Sure.
But
I just got.
But a bit of an odor. So Santa won't be going there anymore. Santa won't be visiting.
Don't you really see all of the hot actresses?
One more, please.
Okay, go ahead.
There you go.
Oh, hot damn tamale.
Oh, hey, wow. Hey, Santa?
Oh, yes. You talking about Lindsay still?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wash it off.
Hey, Chris?
Just kidding.
Chris?
Yo!
You ever try absinthe?
Yes.
You know, we've had it on the show. We love it.
Who are you talking to? I'm hundreds of years old. Don't you know I've done it all? Mulled wine up to absinthe, heroin, roofies. I've done everything. I'm rolling on E right now.
Where did you shoot the heroin?
Right next to my wormwood scar. I'll tell you right now, Santa is jolly, and to be jolly, one needs an occasional bit of assistance. So I've tried it all. But I'll tell you, there's nothing better than what my friends in the Soviet Union, as we used to call and produce, which is good old Russian vodka. The only reason I'm drinking this stuff right now is because I couldn't get it at your store that's named after a children's rhyme. ABC.
The ABC.
What the hell is that going on?
That's alcohol. Beverage control.
That's what your store said. I loaded up when I got into my limo. Santa just needs this. He said, you want it chilled? No, give it to me right out of the bottle. Santa doesn't need anything chilled. That's the magic of the North Pole. When Santa puts it in his mouth, it's like a shaken martini. That's why I'm so jolly.
How's your hotel? Everything okay?
The hotel is doing gangbuster business. A lot of explorers coming up to check out that BS about global warming. But I say, okay, enjoy yourselves. You know, you get the free jacuzzi anyway. So the hotel's doing great. The chain of hotels. We moved the operation to Bangladesh last year, and things could not be better. I'm very happy. Of course, Mrs. Claus has her usual myriad of health issues that
let me,
we have Oh.
How you doing?
The Ho 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 Hotel. Don't get any wrong ideas.
Okay. How you doing? How you doing with Spectrovision?
Spectrovision is fantastic because you know no rules apply up at my North Pole.
Oh, really?
So when you rent a bad movie, if you know what I mean, you get the real deal, including an elfin channel.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, you haven't enjoyed in-room porn until you've seen elfin porn. It's like found money. I dig it so. I truly do. I tell you, life is good. After all these thousands of years, life is still delightful. I'm feeling good, except for the alopecia, which made my beard fall out. They tell me if I get on the right meds, I'll be able to grow it back in maybe 300 years.
How's your gout?
Oh, it's not good.
Is that foot still purple?
Okay.
Oh, dear.
What, Santa?
You didn't know?
Oh, no.
Why? Yeah.
No.
What?
At the knee.
I was going to say how high up.
At the knee.
At the knee. You know what that is?
Proud of that.
That is just the fact that for years you ignored that problem.
I understand, but after all these years, occasionally something's got to go. And now look at me. I'm practically like Lieutenant Dan. Oh, man. Yes, they took the leg.
Wow.
At the knee, right at the fur line. Oh, very frustrating.
Right at the fur line for the boots.
But it doesn't matter to me because I don't walk, I ride. And I slide down the chimney.
Uh-huh.
So I don't need the other leg.
You don't slide down the chimney anymore, do you really?
Sure as hell do.
Huh?
It's magical. Is that Herb Alpert? I love his stuff. I truly do.
Do you have a peg leg?
I've got an artificial prosthetic.
Nah.
A Santa prosthetic in red, green, and white. The Christmas colors. It's striped. And it fits me like a glove, and I'm very comfortable. It's a leg made of candy. Only at that time of the year.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the time, it's a space-age polymer.
Cripple claws,
that's nice. Okay, I'm going to take back your Christmas machete. You won't be able to do any chopping this year.
My Christmas machete.
Santa didn't pry. What's that for, anyway? I have no idea.
It's a gift from my wife.
Come, lick Santa's candy foot. Please do.
No, Saint Cripple.
Santa's got a candy foot for you to lick.
I don't want to lick your foot, Saint Cripple.
Look at it. It's striped, just like a candy cane. And it's got real toes.
Wow.
Lick my candy toes. Please do. It's a better foot than the one I had. That blue pulpy mass of nothing.
Do you think your old foot looked anything like JB from Fox NFL Sunday's foot?
I think so. The toenails were all blue. Dark blue. And now it's gone and I'm St. Crippolis.
Wow.
But it's great to be with you.
Santa?
Oh, ho, ho. Boy, I feel sober again. We'll rectify that.
Yeah. Listen, Nick, we're going to take the first two callers here to play Low Budget Jeopardy at 877-365-3636.
I hope they know they'll be getting something extra special this year. I just made that up. They won't. They'll get the same lousy dollars they get on every time you play this infernal game. And I need an escort.
Oh.
A real one.
Oh.
High dollar.
High price call girl?
That's what your producer, the girl, you got a chick working for you now.
Yeah.
And she promised me that. She said, I'll take care of you. So that's all I require.
Yeah.
Get me my transportation. Get me my company because I'm staying overnight.
Now.
I'm visiting several Toys R Us locations.
Okay, I'll figure
night, not when they're there.
I'll figure this out for you now. Yeah. White, black, oriental, Asian.
Oriental and Asian are the same thing. I'm going to take the machete back, and I would like Asian, please. Thank you.
How many?
Four.
Wow.
Yes, sirree. Five if I take the leg off. Oh, yes, Buzz Burbank. I understand your dirty little laugh. And Santa's going to give you everything you want.
Oh, thank you, Santa.
Yes. Yes, Asian and very short, please.
Well, unless they come in any other way.
Oh, I've seen some supermodels that get up 6'1". I want them all under 4 feet tall. And I want them now.
Okay.
Wow. Santa wants them now.
We'll have them in your hotel room as soon as we're done with this segment.
All right. And Buzz, don't worry. That lotion basket is doable.
Excellent. Thank you, Santa.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back with Kris Kringle.
Ho, ho, ho.
Saint Cripple.
Oh, we'll play chopsticks. Won't that be fun? Santa in my pokey nut on.
We'll play Jeopardy with Santa.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Cameron.
WKK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that was Hefe. I give it a piece of paper, man. Let's see what I'm supposed to do next year. Says here, Elvis, we're talking about Christmas song.
Oh,
They are not dignified. Don and Mike.
Top Don.
With Santa Claus?
Ah, shut up.
Wow. And then we're back on the air.
Well,
and then we're back.
We're gonna... I don't care about anything anymore. It gets into my bloodstream faster than normal people.
Yeah.
The booze is.
Right, because you're
I'm magical.
You're magic. Yeah.
I am.
You're magic. Sure, you're magic.
I am magical.
My ass, you're magic.
If my ass, I'll come in again.
If I'm
part elf, damn it.
If you were magical, you could make the leg that you had to have removed because of gout. You could make.
Love talking about my artificial leg.
You could make a new leg appear.
You love it. You love talking about my artificial leg.
Yes, I do.
I just shouldn't have told you that.
Would you talk into the microphone?
I shouldn't have told you that.
But if you're really magic, why can't you just sprinkle some magic dust on your leg and have a new leg?
It's not that kind of magic. It's the kind of magic that allows me.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
No.
You don't understand what it is. I won't even tell you about something else that you might want to know about.
What's that, Santa?
My bag.
Oh. Poor Santa.
I lost all me. Yes, sir.
I hope you don't have any toys in that bag.
That's only temporary.
For the girls and boys.
Everything heals up. I'll be back on the whole thing. I'll be doing all right.
See, if you're really magic, you could do something about it. Now, what are you doing?
I'm leaning my head now. I'm drunk. Santa is drunk.
Oh, Santa Claus, let's play Low Budget Jeopardy. And we have a champion.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy.
What's so funny?
I don't know.
Yeah, everything.
Coming into the studio is a realtor. A realtor?
Realtor.
Yeah.
From Coralville, Iowa. Let's say hi to Ron Muckler.
Hi, Ron.
Ho, ho.
Hey, LQ. Hey, Santa.
Hi, Ron. Who's next?
Well, you have to tell us.
Yeah,
you have to tell us.
He's a
champion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
His name is Chris.
It's hot in here, Buster. Okay. Oh. This is our returning champion, total $130 in a couple of days' work. Fairfax, Virginia guy, Chris Metalcow.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, LQ. Hey, Chris.
Dude, being our returning Low Budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life?
Ken Jennings and I have been going out drinking and even giving me tips.
Here are your categories, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Categories are.
I'm going to be sick.
No,
Santa. No, no.
I'm going to be sick.
Who's favored this weekend in the NFL?
Oh.
Ocean's 12.
Oh.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
Turn on the AC.
Wow. It's on. Fruits and nuts.
It's hot.
And celebrity stuff.
Kick the AC on.
Again, here are your categories. Who's favorite this weekend in the NFL?
Oh, I gotta get my bookie.
Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12. Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Boy, I make a dollar her.
This week on the Don and Mike Show, fruits and nuts and celebrity stuff. Ron in Iowa, you're the challenger. We will start with you.
Hey, Chris and Ron.
Yes.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks, Santa.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go with this weekend. Who's favorite in the NFL?
Okay. Here we go. St. Louis at Carolina.
Who is Carolina?
Right. Panthers by 6.5.
$1 for Ron.
Ron.
I'm a minority owner of the Browns.
Oh. I didn't know that.
I bet you didn't know that.
I didn't know.
Okay, Ron, select again.
All right. NFL for two.
New Orleans Saints at Dallas Cowboys.
Who are the Cowboys?
Ooh. Hey, Chris.
Oh, hold on. He's right about that. Yeah, Dallas.
What is it? You're making bells.
I hit the wrong button. Dallas is favored by 7.
$2 for you, Chris. Select again.
NFL for three, please.
Tampa Bay at San Diego.
Ooh.
Gotta be San Diego. Who is
that?
That
was not in the form of the question.
Christian says to steal.
Who is San Diego?
Ah, right. Oh.
Chargers by five.
Tie game. All right, Chris, select again.
Don and Mike show for one.
This week on the Don and Mike show, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hey.
Who is the winner?
Not enough. Took too much time.
Too late.
Run. It's time to steal.
You missed that part.
Oh, the guy said it. Yeah. Wait, William Shatner. Bill Shatner.
William Shatner, Captain Kirk. Come on, guys. Chris, I smell cheese. You're in control. Select again.
Don and Mike for two.
His daddy was famous.
Who is Frank Sinatra Jr.?
$2. Good job. Good job. Not enough people do good jobs anymore.
That's right.
Thanks, Santa.
All right, Chris, select again.
Don and Mike for three.
You want to cover up that stump? I really don't need to see that.
Oh, man, come on. I have to wear shoes on it all the time. Yeah, it was just, I said you could lick the toes.
I don't want to lick the toes.
I want to keep it off. It makes the stump breathe.
Okay. But it smells.
It's still healing.
It smells.
They hacked it off only 2 months ago. Said, Santa, it's got to go or you got to go. And I said, I'm not going to, after all these zillions of years I've been doing this, I'm not going to let that happen. They said, well, whatever you want to do, Santa Claus, you're going to talk about Santa. That with everybody.
Santa, you got to get on the microphone. Santa, Chris, you got to get on the mic.
Talk on the mic.
I'm sorry. Okay, who's got the board? Who's playing the Wheel of Fortune?
Is it Ron?
Ron or Chris?
Chris,
come on,
speak it. Chris has it.
All right, Chris, select
right,
again
Chris,
so it, and make quick with it.
Got a mic for three.
On Christopher. Yeah, I'll bring my whip out.
He has B.O. issues.
Who's Marty Beth?
Oh, that's gold.
Ron, your chance to steal. Hey, good answer, Ron.
Hey. Guys, Robert Mailman.
All right, Chris, you're in control. This bites.
What bites?
I'm spinny. All right,
Chris.
Truth and nuts for one.
Fruits and nuts. Here we go. This is the top grape producing country in the world.
Oh.
What is France?
No.
Ron, your chance to steal. I know.
What is Italy?
Italy, right.
Atta
Italy.
Boy, Ron. $1 for yours or two.
You can give me two. That's fine.
It's one, isn't it, smart guy?
Yeah.
Who are you screwing with?
You're screwing with one-legged Santa.
Yeah, but the Santa. Knock it off.
He does know everything.
You're damn right I do. I know a lot about
it. Tell you what, he ain't got any powers, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so I know about all the secrets of Coralville, Iowa. Okay, select again.
Fruits and nuts for two.
This is the top almond-producing country in the world.
Brazil. What is Brazil?
Yeah, really, take your time.
Chris, your chance to steal.
What is America?
That's right. Goddamn right. Go USA.
Fruits and nuts for three.
What's wrong, Santa?
Mouth dry. Oh. Nita Fresca. Ouch. That. All right, Chris, go again.
Oh, he did. Fruits and nuts for three.
Yeah.
He had a Christmas special last night on the TV.
Who's Clay Aiken?
Right.
$3. You got yourself a lead, young man, and you're the champion, which is a good thing. All right, go again.
Celebrity stuff for one.
This American Idol winner was released from the hospital after exhaustion.
Who's Ruben Studdard?
Correct.
How about fat exhaustion? I've been there. Oh, man.
At least he's got both of his legs.
That's not nice. You're going to make me cry. I was hit by a taxi.
I know, Rip.
All right there, Chris, select again.
Who? Celebrity for two.
Hey, this, Chris, lighten up. You're being too serious.
This former cheer star was hospitalized for, they're calling it a bad reaction to meds.
Who is Shelley Long?
Shelley Long, yeah, she was almost at OD.
That's $2 for you, select again, Chris, stupid red pants.
Celebrity stuff for three.
Goddamn elastic is shot. Santa's going commando.
Oh, Santa.
All right, for three. All right, ready.
She beat Ken Jennings on the other Jeopardy just a week ago.
Who is Zerg?
Oh, you know, that's so close.
Ron, your chance to steal.
Who is Ferg?
No, I know. It's Nancy Zerg.
Nancy Zerg.
Everybody knows that. I know that.
Nancy, the Zergster.
She's ordered up some board games for the whole damn family. Jeopardy crap.
Has she?
Yeah. Huh. Sweatshirts, all that stuff. I'll do it for her.
Okay.
I'll make it happen. Donnie.
Yeah?
Does this look swollen to you?
Yes, and infected.
I know. I got to get me on the antibiotics.
It smells like root beer.
Oh, man. All they've been doing is pouring brandy on it. It itches like mad.
Yeah, have you been scratching it?
Yeah, they say not to, but I can't help it. And, you know, look at these fingernails.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Last time you had a manicure.
Who wants a fresh potato? Sorry. My God. All right, Chris.
One category left, and it is, Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12 for one.
Good choice. Here we go. This is the largest ocean in the world.
What is Pacific?
Right.
$1 for you, Chris. Select again.
Ocean's 12 for two.
This is the second largest ocean in the world.
What is the Atlantic?
All right, smart guy.
Wow, you're a smart man, aren't you, Chris?
I try. Thank you.
You're welcome. Smart ass.
Maybe you could bust his head open with an encyclopedia set this Christmas, Santa.
Wouldn't that be fun? I've got brass bookends for you right in the temples. But Chris is naughty. We know that, don't we, Chris?
Absolutely.
All right, Chris, here we go. Last question on the big board. Ocean's 12.
Santa's not a gay.
Hold on. Santa's bi.
Yeah, it was solid. Omnisexual.
Omnisexual.
My favorite term.
Ocean's 12 for three. Last question on the board. This is the third largest ocean in the world.
What is the Indian?
Okay. All right,
$3,
smart guy.
Yeah. That's the end of the round.
That's it now. Chris?
Yeah.
Who's not you? I'm talking to Chris Kringle.
I'm over here now.
Chris, who's got what?
$19 for... Chris, the guy that's the smart guy, and right. Ron's got four, so he's still in the game. We could have some fun and Santa gets to take another drink, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Attaboy.
Guys, good luck. It's final low-budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet at all.
Let's root again for Chris.
And
Kringle.
Here are your categories. Or your category.
I want a goddamn Fresca.
Okay, we'll get you a Fresca.
La, la, la.
Here's the category. Desperation.
Oh, that's my life. Ooh. Quiet desperation.
Here's your answer. The name of the character killed off 2 weeks ago.
Ow.
On Desperate Housewives.
Oh, Jesus.
Name of the character killed off 2 weeks ago on Desperate Housewives. Don't forget, answer in the form of question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive my exclusive autobiography, Santa, A Lifetime of Giving. The official biography of me, Chris Kringle. My bio is chock full of Christmas cheer with plenty of Santa fun and exclusive never-before-seen photos of my Santa changing room, my reindeer neutering clinic, and my favorite, the All-Elf Gentlemen's Club. Get it now! Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek, Geronimo.
Thank you, Sandy. Here we go. On this thing right here. See if we get a winner. And we will talk to Ron in Iowa first.
Ron with $4.
Desperation is category. Name of the character killed off 2 weeks ago on Desperate Housewives. Ron.
My desperate answer is, who is Vivian?
Negative.
No, that knocked you down to zero. I'm sorry.
Smart guy Chris, if you have the right answer, you're the big winner.
Who is Susan?
Oh.
Oh,
he's
no.
A big bad loser.
Oh, no.
No, her name. My name is Mrs. Huber, Martha Huber, and Buzz, I don't watch the show, but I know you do, and I hear she might be back either as a twin or as a ghost.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So,
right.
Hey, I got smart guy, Chris.
Thanks so much for that. I got to watch more TV.
Yeah. Santa Claus is bringing Nicolette Sheridan a special gift.
Come back.
Listen, Todd Hughes and his fag glasses will love this game. We're giving away no money today.
Oh.
So both of you, don't go away mad.
Oh.
Go away. Here is Chris Kringle to tell you what you want. S. Claus?
All right, you get to keep your $103, Chris. And Ron, I've got some party gifts for both of you. Are you ready?
Excellent.
You both have won a WWE Armageddon prize pack. Don't miss WWE Armageddon live on Sunday, December 12th. Only in-demand pay-per-view. Call your Comcast or Cox cable system to order now. Digital customers.
That's a good read.
Easy ordering. It's digital customers easy ordering with your digital remote control machine.
That's a good read, Santa.
All right, that's my pleasure.
Perfect. Your leg is bleeding.
You better be careful, Mr. Geronimo. You won't get all those fancy electronics that you like every year.
All I want is that big, sharp knife you promised me.
Yes, well, that's in your hands right now. An early gift from me to you. And I'd like to say ho, ho, ho and a Merry Christmas to everyone. Looking forward to people sitting on my lap. Only certain ones, though. You're going to have to Scotch guard your chair.
Chris and Ron, thank you, fellas. Have a great holiday. And, well, Santa, what can I say? I guess you'd be back, next week on the show, right?
I love to come back, and I'll be in the whole outfit. I'll have the fake makeup beard on, and I'll be doing the whole thing. But just don't forget, I'm baked.
Wow. Hey,
I'm really flat out baked. I don't mind telling you.
I forgot to ask you. I mean, with the problem with the gout and everything and the drinking and the beard.
Yeah.
How's the prostate?
Perfect. Perfect.
Did you go get a check?
Did I get a check? I had it taken out.
Oh, no.
I'm rocking and rolling right now.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have it. It's gone.
What happened to it?
Yeah, it didn't look too bad. Seriously. It's so, like a Bing cherry.
Oh, I forgot it's in the bag. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, they've carved me up more than a Christmas turkey.
Okay.
They have.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way
to bring
good news to his people.
Man, Buzz.
He made it up.
Time to go to Camelot.
Hey, Santa, you want some real quick fun?
I'd love some fun.
Ask him the name of the football team and see if he can guess if they're in the AFC or the NFC.
Okay, you ready to go, big guy?
I'm ready, Santa.
Minnesota Vikings, NFC or AFC?
I'll say AFC.
Wrong. Oh, this is a fun game. I enjoy this a lot. This is like playing with one of my elves that reads books.
What is your lead story tonight on News and Comments?
Just like on CSI, the evidence appears to be closing in on Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, we won't be getting him anything this year. Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
Well, I love Caruso.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like the Miami version.
I like the one that's on tonight with William Peterson.
Yeah, that's one in Vegas. Hey, two great cities.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue with you there. Rather be in both than where I live, Bangladesh.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. On the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how was that concert George Harrison did there?
Oh, years ago. That rocked.
Sure.
He's a good guy. Yeah, he's gone to his maker now.
Yeah.
But Santa's immortal with one leg.
Always remember Never Get Low, but Jeopardy's a production of
Coron Incorporated, distributed by King World.
All right.
You all be naughty, not nice. Right, just kidding. Be nice, not naughty.
You big drunk. We'll see you next week. And that was all very...
whatever. Do what Peter tells you.
Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They whore it like bitches.
Yeah, we do.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Addison Lighthouse, also known as White Plains. Also, the group known as First Class that did Beach Baby.
Right. This one.
It's really one guy. It's just one guy singing all this junk.
Oh,
did you say I'll be darned?
I did.
Shut up. It's almost like, isn't that something?
Yes,
thank you, Buzz. A nice dismissive comment from Buzz. Station break in Pittsburgh. WURP in Johnston, Pennsylvania. I hope it's is it Johnston or Johnstown? We've been through that a million times.
Yeah, Johnstown,
the Edge. It's our radio station there, Burlington, Iowa. KCPM and Sacramento. KHTK, home of the Kings. Time for Buzz now with news, and it's brought to you by Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Viramax, number one because it really works. Doctor developed and clinically tested. Call 1-888-TRI-VMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. A police found Michael Jackson's fingerprint and a print from his accuser on a porno magazine seized at Neverland Ranch last year, according to the increasingly credible National Enquirer. The report says the two sets of prints were found on the same page of a magazine called, ironically, Barely Legal. That's a Larry Flint publication that features young adult women posing as naughty teenagers. As we've reported, last Friday, a police took a DNA sample from Jackson by swabbing the lining of his mouth. Just like on CSI. The accuser in Jackson's child molestation case is a cancer survivor who was 13 at the time of the alleged crime. He reportedly told police where they could find Jackson's porno stash. Jackson is 46 years old. His trial begins next month.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We have a statement from the child.
Pagan Stevens, don't be so tight. Give my daddy more money.
Wow, that's wow. That had to have dust on it.
You got mad when I played the tape of your kid the other day. So I'll tape a Mike, and he's almost 20 now.
Mike. Wow.
Listen to him there.
Pagan Stevens, don't be so tight. Give my daddy more money.
There you go. Martha Stewart has spent her time behind bars like any other inmate, securing a new television show. Technically, Martha cannot and has not done anything to make that happen other than to agree to do it. She's gotten help on the outside from TV's Mark Burnett, who created Survivor and The Apprentice.
And won't let us forget it.
Quoting the British Burnett, America loves comeback stories.
Hello.
We'll have to wait another year for that story. Martha's still doing 5 months for lying about a hinky stock deal, and then she'll be under house arrest for another 5 months. But Burnett says Martha will interact on the show with regular people, talking about what she learned in prison, along with some household hints.
I was reading...
She's not really in prison.
I was reading an article with Mark Burnett where he was saying that he envisions her doing a show that is similar to the Ellen DeGeneres show and the old Rosie O'Donnell show.
No way.
No, Mike, I know, but just... Hear me out.
Nobody's
what
better
he's
with
saying.
People. Right.
He's saying...
I was talking about the success of it. You know?
Oh, I know. Yeah. He's saying... She would be great with a studio audience.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I cannot believe this. She is colder than the coldest snowball on the North Pole.
How can anyone compare anything to Ellen? Because the Ellen show is probably the best thing that's out there, right? Yeah. And I've never seen anybody more comfortable on camera than Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, I mean, even those bitches on The View. I mean, they've got a good stage presence. The housefrows seem to enjoy them when they come out.
Maybe prison will loosen her up.
Maybe Martha can dance like Ellen.
But anyway, I was reading this guy, and he's saying, everybody's, just what you said, right. America loves the underdog.
Right.
And also he's saying that now that Martha's a bad girl,
right.
That her comedy that none of us have known about before will now rise to the top. Yep. Now that she doesn't have to worry about being Miss Perfect Manners, now you're going to see the crazy shock comedy.
The comedy styling.
Of Martha Stewart.
Right.
Yeah. Comedy with a K. K-O-M-E-D-Y.
I think that it wouldn't work on so many different levels, though. Not the least of which is her reputation as far as dealing with staffs.
Yeah.
I think she would have a tough time doing that on a TV show like
that. And that's another thing. Yeah. Mark Burnett also, I don't know what this was in. It was in TV, radio, variety.
Right.
I don't know. The quote is that she is now going to joke about all the things that have happened in the past. No, not only prison.
Yeah, that's true.
Meaning, Mike, you meant her staff.
You won't be so serious?
That he says you're going to see a side of Martha Stewart you've not seen before. That because she's been through this experience, she'll joke about the people she's fired before. She'll joke about the... Here's the thing I didn't believe. He said she will joke about the TV movie where Sybil Shepherd played her.
Wow. You know, you can't change your stripes like that. I don't think it's going to happen.
Maybe she'll pose in Playboy.
You!
I got news for you, huh? I'd be interested to see.
I know you would.
Maybe a lot of people would.
I'm not saying I would want to.
You want to look.
I'd like to see.
I'd rather look at my laundry.
But whatever happens, let's hope Martha doesn't get more prison time for not paying her property taxes.
Uh-oh.
The tax collector in Westport, Connecticut says Martha failed to make the quarterly payment on her two properties the week she went to prison. With interest, he says she owes about $10,000 now. Quoting taxman George Underhill, I hope someone gets word to her. Especially since interest is 18% and will continue to accrue until she pays. And if she doesn't pay by June, the town starts foreclosing on her home.
We'll just be tasteful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course, tasteful.
It's a good thing.
Kind of like the girl. Remember the girl that had the thing with GIF?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Something like that.
Susan Johnson?
Yeah.
That was tasteful.
Something like that.
You just can't get your head out of Martha being in Playboy, can you?
No, I can't. I'd like to see it. I think for being... How old is Martha Stewart? She's 60?
60, I think.
How about a side shot in an apron?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, baby.
You're looking for trouble there.
Yeah.
Her best bet might be.
You know what I say? What's for dinner, Mom?
Her best bet might be like a Lindsay Lohan thing where you don't really see anything.
Yeah, like she can get her legs into that position.
We'd help her. With a five $5 belt.
Did you say, yeah. He broke her legs.
I mean,
no. Like in Missouri.
It's called hobbling, Martha.
Hobbling.
Maybe not Playboy. Maybe that magazine that Robert brought in yesterday.
Oh, that was a
Fox.
Good magazine. Yeah,
that is a good magazine. From Martha's tax troubles to someone else's, we don't know the whole story on the tax status of California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger because, unlike other elected officials, he won't tell us. He'll even the president's income is a matter of public record. But
hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold has chosen to release only what he paid in taxes last year, $3 million, and how much he gave to charity, $1 million. He won't say what his income was, and he won't release his tax return so we can check the figures he's given.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The thing you've seen with the enlargement of the press was fantastic.
Consumer advocates say that what Arnold has told us, quote, is meaningless. It's the trailer, not the movie. Classic marketing, showing yourself as a taxpayer, not a mogul.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I was thinking, what if he pays $3 million in taxes and gives $1 million to charity. What if he's making like $100 million a year? Maybe more than that.
Don't you think that that's what's really happening, Mike?
If he paid $3 million in taxes, I mean, that means that what reasonably he should make about $6, $7 million a year.
He's fantastic with the breasts.
That's it. But no, I don't think. I think that Arnold made a little more than that.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold has said repeatedly voters ought to be able to scrutinize their elected officials. He gets around the disclosure law.
Scrutinize.
Gets around the disclosure law by giving someone else power of attorney to sign his tax returns.
Oh.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld got an earful from some troops in Iraq yesterday. One brave soldier stepped up to ask, why do we have to dig through landfills for scrap metal to armor up our vehicles? Other soldiers, almost as brave, cheered the question. Rumsfeld rebuilt troop morale by saying, quote, you can have all the armor in the world on a tank, and a tank can still be blown up.
Oh, God.
You know, he was...
He's the wrong guy for that gig.
Rumsfeld was not ready for hecklers.
No.
I mean, it's almost like a comedian that goes on stage. You got to have always a standard pat answer.
Right.
The one that I saw was, and they showed the guy standing up, and his question was, why are we going into minefields to dig out pieces of old, blown-up tanks and Humvees.
Yeah, landfills.
Because they showed some of the Humvees that we have, and they have, like, cardboard on the doors
tape
now.
Tape on the side. Yeah,
tape on the side, duct tape. And Rumsfeld's answer was something along the lines of, you go to war with the army that you have. Yeah. You don't complain about... I mean, what was the buzz?
Another soldier asked about the long assignments for troops in Iraq. Rummy's answer, that is simply a fact of life for soldiers in times of war. And quoting Rumsfeld, and here's the quote you're looking for, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want. See, he's not used to tough questions because he normally only faces the Washington media.
Yeah, and he's Mr. Tough Guy with the media. That doesn't go over so well. You know, I was talking with a Green Beret last night, and people have no idea, for good or bad, what these guys are going on.
Right.
I mean, people don't have any... This was a Special Forces guy that jumped out of an airplane before the Baghdad invasion, and his job with his little team up there was to jump on top of roofs in Baghdad, of buildings in Baghdad, and take out the guys that were manning anti-aircraft sites.
Mm.
And, you know, and he has the nerve to talk to them, to talk down to them, like he does to the media.
What you say is, you say... you know, I'm sorry. I take personal responsibility. It's my army. We're going to get you guys everything.
Yeah, we're going to supply you with whatever you need. Where's the money going?
Even if you're lying to them, which you would be,
right?
You try to keep the guys and girls' spirits
morale
over there.
Right.
You know, imagine if you're the guy that asked that question. You have the stones to ask the question, and you're walking out with your friends, and you say, do you freaking believe that?
Yeah.
I put my career on the line to stand up and ask this guy a straight question about how come our Humvees have cardboard doors, and he says to me, to fight with the army that you're with?
Unbelievable. Absolutely. But, you know, hey, no surprise here.
On a gratuitously sexual note, the woman who manages a Victoria's Secret lingerie store in Bangor, Maine...
Yeah, I see fish.
...is about to become a drill sergeant. Sergeant Jennifer Johnson is in training here in Virginia, learning how to prepare other soldiers for combat and for that special night.
I wonder if she's any relationship to Justy.
Justy Johnson.
Justy Johnson.
Who will be getting a Green Bay Packers tattoo next Monday on this show.
If the Packers beat the Detroit Lions.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's a slight
You have
chance.
To accept the simple reality that there is a game that's going to be played.
Yes. Right? And I know that there's a chance that the Packers will lose and I will get the Detroit Lions tattoo.
But the overwhelming odds.
Yeah.
Well, what is do we have the line on the game yet?
It's like 9 points. It's 9 points. But, you know, any given Sunday, that crap
right.
is true. On any given Sunday.
How will you feel if by some strange... will you be angry? Will you be like, you think it's funny?
I don't think there's... Listen, maybe I'm the dumbest guy in the world. Hold on, we've just gotten... I am the dumbest guy in the world on many topics. I'm not worried about this, Ben. I mean, I was looking at my shoulder today. I had a conversation with my wife. I said, are you going to be pissed if I lose this bet with Jay Dubs and I have to get the Lions tattoo? And she said, of course I am. And I said, what are we talking about?
Right.
The Packers are not going to lose. The Packers just got their asses kicked by the Eagles. Do you think they're going to let Detroit come into their house and do this? Not a friggin' chance.
What time is the game on?
1 o'clock game. It's an early game.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, Green Bay, Detroit.
You bet.
All right.
Watch on Sunday Ticket.
America's new intelligence plan is wasteful and dangerous to the national security.
I'll drink to that.
According to a man we'll hear from when we return.
Oh, it won't be Ed McMahon. No. Thank you, Buzz. More news coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They will touch you in the place called the heart. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, right. DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's the official website of our show. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be giving away this fancy computer from Alienware. The Alienware bot system that delivers rock-solid performance and a sleek, state-of-the-art design. Nothing looks... and performs like an Alienware. We'll give that away along with $1,000.
Right.
Tomorrow. Man. As a matter of fact, they will give away $1,000 every day until we leave for Christmas.
Wow. Wonderful idea.
$1,000 a day.
Dreidel dollars.
Good stuff. Every day before we leave.
Nice.
We work till the 17th. Do the math. That's... six more shows.
$6,000.
$6,000.
6 chances to win $1,000.
And we're cutting it close.
Mm. Gonna check in with the pork chop.
Hey, pork chop?
Yeah.
excuse me.
Oh,
all right.
That's okay. You know, I've not even mentioned. My wife's sick again.
Oh.
And I got it again now. I think I did mention it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you mentioned it yesterday.
Pork chop?
Mm-hmm.
How much is in our, in the hopper?
$6,800.
So there's a chance you might win like an extra 800 bones.
How about that? Yeah, like on the last day, maybe.
Six big. Oh, shut up, Rob. Six big ways to win big. Rob just wrote that down as a problem.
That's nice. That's catchy.
Shut up.
All right, well, join us for the 6 days of Christmas.
I love you, you big dude. Six big ways to win big. Okay. Yeah. Bye, pork chop.
Bye.
Bye bye.
I won't say we could have done the 12 days of Christmas and made it $500.
Oh, hell, we could have done the 24 days of Christmas if we did, like, $250.
Just didn't get around
we could have done
it.
The 48 days of Christmas if we did $125. We could have done the...
Here we go. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I get it.
It's my wheel. We could have done the 96 days of Christmas if it was, $75.
You can't stop when that starts, can you? No.
Mike, I'm not a smart man, but I'm good at some things.
Always, the switch is always on.
That's right. For math, the switch is on. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
More than 3 years after 9/11, the government's finally overhauling our intelligence network. A lack of coordination by the various spy agencies may have allowed the attacks on this country, and poor intelligence may have gotten us into the Iraqi war to some extent. So now Congress, led by President Bush and the Republican majority, has drawn up a bill that's supposed to fix all that.
I'm just supporting our president.
Cheering him on. Sure, but the plan includes a mysterious and expensive spy satellite program that is, according to the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, very, very wasteful and dangerous to the national security. So, Jay Rockefeller and three other powerful senators are refusing to sign off on the plan.
Jay Rock.
Everybody feel good?
Yeah, I do.
Six big ways to win big.
How about that?
There's a less expensive way for a nation to protect itself. Be Canada. Canada mostly relies on luck for its national security, according to a report from the Canadian Senate. The report says it's luck, not planning and preparedness, that have spared Canadians. But quoting the report, luck is notoriously untrustworthy. The government report called its own Coast Guard toothless.
And it says Canada's Great Lakes surveillance is the soft underbelly of Canadian coastal defense. Are you taking notes, Rob?
They got Gordon Lightfoot, though.
Yes, they do.
You know, and it's nice that they're kind of right next to us, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
You think the reason that no one's trying to conquer Canada is because no one wants it? It's a big, vast wasteland of nothing. They can keep it.
Haven't ticked anybody off.
Have you been? What? I have.
You've been to Canada?
Yeah, just so I could look back at America. The Niagara Falls.
You went to the Niagara Falls.
How
was the Niagara Falls?
It was wonderful when you're looking back at America. The Canadian Falls, yeah.
You mean the exact same falls on the other side?
But you can't see it. You got to go over to look back. But yeah. God, it was great to get back to the States.
Well, what was your total time spent in Canada?
Well, I went over to the Niagara Falls, and I probably stayed for about 45 minutes. I seen it.
Couldn't wait to get back to the U.S.
No, and I kissed the ground and paid my taxes.
Well, that's a weak point, and the report says all of Canada's ports are vulnerable. Good to know.
Yeah.
The report is... Okay, then.
Yeah. Funny buzz. There's okay again. Okay,
that's
okay.
A weak point. The report also spoke unfavorably of Canada's military and its airport screeners, but Canada apparently does not feel insecure about its masculinity. Canada's highest court today okayed gay marriage.
Can we get high?
The court ruled that government can redefine the word to include same-sex couples. The court also ruled, fair enough, that clergy cannot be forced to perform these unions against their beliefs.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Welcome to Canada. K-A-N-A-D-A. That is a joke that's so inside.
Yes, it is.
That will not even ever be on our box set.
No, absolutely not.
Sorry.
Judges in 6 provinces and 1 territory have already allowed thousands of same-sex weddings in Canada. This moves Canada in line with Belgium and the Netherlands for allowing gay marriage. Canadian lawmakers will vote to make it official next year.
It's very carnal. K-A-R-N-A-L.
You're crazy. A nut with a gun jumped on stage in Columbus, Ohio last night and opened fire, killing 5 people and wounding 2 others before being shot to death himself by police. One of the dead was Daryl Dimebag Abbott, a guitarist for Damage Plan. Dimebag Daryl and his brother used to be with the metal band Pantera.
I hope Tom Gavin is okay.
Pantera guys. Metal was what they were playing last night.
What's up, guys?
Gunman fired 16 shots. Police still don't know why. Police say they believe they saved some lives by dropping the guy.
14, 15, 16. What's up, guys?
In sports, Mike Tyson's in trouble with the law again. A detective in Scottsdale, Arizona says Iron Mike allegedly jumped onto the hood of a car in an incident outside a nightclub. The car was damaged, needless to say.
Well, you know, he's getting ready for a fight. And
You couldn't last 2 minutes in my world.
I bet he's off his meds. I bet that's what's going on. And isn't he supposed to be, coked up or something?
Perhaps self-medicating. Well, let me just tell you first. Tyson cited for criminal damage and then released. His next court appearance is next Friday. Yes, the man orchestrating Tyson's comeback denies reports that the former champ has been doing cocaine and is drowning in debt.
I just saw Mike Tyson doing an interview that high-def show with Harvey Firestone.
Yeah.
And it was, is it Harvey?
Roy Firestone's the other guy.
Roy Firestone. So it is creepy red. His hair is redder than Beth Ann's is, and Beth Ann is a girl. She's allowed to dye her hair red.
This interview that he's doing, Mike Tyson says, I've made peace. I'm not the same guy that I was before.
Good.
All these people that have done me wrong in the past, I forgive them. Mm-hmm. It's the old Mike. On and on and on. Now, you know, 2 weeks later, he's jumping on a car.
Here's what he had to say, incidentally.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Mike Tyson.
I don't shower much.
And finally, in Minneapolis, a man had been running through a neighborhood stark naked. He was running in and out of homes without a stitch of clothing. He'd obviously gone mad and was resisting arrest in a scary and violent way. The police dog that was brought to the scene was on a leash, but when the crazy naked man attacked his human, the dog did what it was trained to do.
Oh,
it bit him. And because the man was jumping around naked, the dog grabbed what he could get.
Oh.
The man's in the hospital for his groin injuries. The dog's been assigned to a desk job until the case can be reviewed. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You know what's funny?
What?
A dog sitting at a desk.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I like that ending.
No! You just made me think of a dog sitting at a desk.
Good.
Doing paperwork.
That's funny, Buzz.
Thank you.
everybody. How would the dog, like, know where to sit and everything?
Exactly. It's absurd.
It's funny. It's observational humor.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're picturing Plank, aren't you?
Yes, I am. My dog? Yes, I am.
German Shepherd.
Sitting at a desk.
Hello, Daddy. How are you?
Let me just pay these bills.
Listen, we got to fly. Ron and Fez are coming next on JFK, also at Live 105 and the Buzz in Tampa Bay. They got a great show, and they're next, so please stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow with the new Retarded episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you, six big ways to win big.
You know what another word for dog is?
What?
Canine.
Run in.
With a K.
Canine.
That would be with a C.
No.
The dog would have to be a C9.
No, it would be a canine because never mind. It's a canine.
$5 this is an bill. Off-the-air discussion.
Butter your bread.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis here just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you
this is the Don and Mike Show.